Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
you stop in the sun. You try to break me, try to pick me up, but on your days it's almost done. So bad I thought it was night. But ain't no one was wrong, and then the one who came and laid down his life. And I got lost in time. But the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. The tears gon' step in and make it alright. How you sleep at night? Only do it. I guess you will. Anybody tell you something different? You know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out. It's only His grace. Only do it. He said He would.
So I trust Him at all times.
I'm about to lose it again. I'm about to let Him know where I'm from. Don't take me to every sin. Cause He's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting.
I need a whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses.
Cause they're always on time. Come and get your breakthrough, cause I'm gon' get mine.
Only do it, He said He would.
Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Only do it,
I guess He will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that. The greatest victory of my life. Cause when it comes at your best and hard, there's only one that can come and make it right. So ain't no need for stressing and crying, cause He gon' show up just like He did the last time. And the last time. And the last time. I know, I know, I know.
Only do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
Amen. Welcome to the show tonight, everybody.
Welcome. Good to be here. I'm Terrence.
I'm Tanisha. And today is November 14th, 2021. It is 9:10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're excited to be here. Thank you so much for tuning in. I've been saying it every week that I am believing for big things. At the because the year is closing out, and just based on what the Lord has told me concerning this year, and I've really been seeing some miracles in myself, especially. I was talking to my son the other day, and we were talking about identity and talking about how part of your walk with God is discovering who you are, because we spend our entire lives trying to find ourselves, right? People tend to say that. They say, I'm just trying to find myself. But really, you're looking for the Lord. because your true identity is found in him. And once you find him, a lot of the times you have to undo who you thought you were or undo the expectations of other people in order to be true to the call that he has on your life. But I noticed something that happened to me this week. I haven't even shared this with Terrence, but I've always known for, I've known for a while what some of my giftings are, some of my strong suits in the Lord. And I remember when maybe in like 2017, Terrence and I went out of town and I met some of his friends for the first time. And one of them randomly asked me, well, I thought it was random. I know now it was a divine appointment, asked me if I was a prophet. I never had anybody ask me that flat out before. And so I said yes and prophesied over him. And at that moment, my gift changed. Before, it was where God would tell me to prophesy over people and I would prophesy over them, but I couldn't do it at will. I couldn't prophesy over anybody. You couldn't just talk to me and I just start praying and prophesying over you. It wasn't like that. And so when I discovered PGN, I was like, you know, he's a prophet and Lord, you've told me I'm a prophet, but why can't I prophesy like that? You know, are there different types of prophets? Like, wasn't sure, but it was something that I desired. But I noticed at that moment when I accepted the call that God has on my life, the gift changed. And when I was talking to my son about identity and I was telling him some, you know, how God uses me, one of the things I told him, I was like, I have a gift of dreams. I said, you know, God speaks to me in dreams and I have a gift to interpret dreams. And ever since I told my son that, every night I've been having, I mean, I dream every night. I know that most people say they do not. So I always thought that was odd when people say they dream every now and again, because I literally dream every night. But I know when it's like, because I watched ID channel late or, you know, had a late snack, and versus when it's something spiritual. But I've noticed that my gifting, the way God has been speaking to me in dreams has, I mean, it's gone on a 10. It went from like a 2 to a 10 after I made that proclamation about who I am to my son. And so I just was like, wow, you know, I'm really believing right now that we need to really proclaim who we are. We need to proclaim who we are in Christ. Know who you are at your job, right? We know the roles that you play in life, our earthly roles. You know, if you're a mother, father, son, you're obviously a son or a daughter because you're here, but there's other roles that you can have. Aunt, uncle, you could be a cousin, you could be, you know, whatever. There's all these earthly roles that we have that are temporary roles because they are just part of the earth. But who are you in Christ? Have you accepted that role? Have you take an identity in that role? Because a lot of the times we hear story after story about people who work jobs, maybe even a career, and they find their identity in that career. They find their identity in that title. And so when that title is gone, whether it be taken from them or it's just that time to retire or whatever the case may be, they always say they lose themselves. How do you lose yourself when you've been found by Christ? How? It's because of what you're identifying with. And we need to start having some perspective about the roles that we play in the earth and who we are in Christ, because it is so important during this time that we start to be and act out and do what God has created us to do. We need each other. What if I decided, you know what, I don't want to pray or prophesy over people or teach them or exalt them or whatever, exhort them or whatever. I don't want to do none of those things. I'm just going to do me, right? How many opportunities would I miss out on blessing somebody or encouraging them or getting them to the next level? Like, I don't have that. I mean, I can because I have free will, but why would I want to do that when that could, you know, we one encounter with a person can change the whole world. You know, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. You know, you can have one deep conversation with a person and that could change the whole trajectory of their life, and their life could end up impacting millions of people, which means that you've impacted millions of people. Like, we legit need one another And more important, we need to be operating in our gifts and talents that God has given us. We need that. He didn't just place them in us or put us in a position to be who he's called us to be for no reason. God does everything for a reason. Everything has purpose. And so it's about time for us to declare who we are in Christ and walk in it. Because once you identify as that, your life will change. And that's just what God has been teaching me, because I noticed that. I'm like, that's not the first time that's happened. When I said it and meant it and knew it, and then I started to see that gifting opening up. So tonight, let's go before the Lord and let's declare and let's accept who we are. Like, I know I have a healing gift and I want it to be activated. Now, I don't know what's going to come along with that. I remember when I was first a baby in Christ and God showed me on a stage, and it looked like there was maybe millions of people, and they were all trying. I thought they were trying to attack me. And I was like, what are you showing me? Like, why do they want to hurt me? And God said, they don't want to hurt you. They want to touch you. And I said, why? And he said, because you'll heal them. And it was so crazy because, I mean, if you've known, you've listened in for a while, you know my background. I was not raised in church. And so gifts of healing and prophecy, all this stuff was new to me. So I didn't know, you know, I didn't know about Billy Graham crusades and all these different things. I didn't know what none of this stuff was. So for God to show me it, I couldn't even categorize it. I could only try to make sense of it based on the knowledge and exposure that I had at that time. So you see great crowds of people trying to storm a stage. I'm thinking these people are trying to harm me or trying to do something to me. I didn't know nothing about gifts of healing. And so from that moment, God started to have me study Catherine Coleman and Reinhard Bonnke. And I didn't know who they were in the kingdom. Excuse me. I had no idea. But these are the type of ministries he had me cut my teeth on. Adrian Rogers. He had Adrian Rogers watching one of his ministries teach me about tithing. There's just so many. He used to really have me watch Jack Van Impe about prophecy and lining things up with what's in the Word of God, excuse me, to real time events. And none of these men or women of God are perfect. You can find fault in every human being. But God had me take the good and learn from it. You know, I just think of all the different ministries that I had no idea who these people were. I had no clue. And I was another one, Billy Joe Doherty. He used to have me watch his ministry. I think he ended up passing. Adrian Rogers passed too. Reinhard Bonnke too, you know, and Catherine Coleman was already passed when I started studying her and watching her, and Jack Van Impe's passed. As a matter of fact, most of these people have passed. Now I think about Miles Monroe, he's passed. But these are the people that God had me gravitate towards. And like I said, I had no clue that how they were, their stature in the body of Christ, or how well known or popular or anything. I didn't gravitate towards them because of popularity or anything like that. It was because this is who God had me to study and learn from. And so now I'm entering into a season where all of that teaching, it's like I feel like it's coming to a head, so to speak. And so tonight I'm going to declare that I have a gift of healing. And that I will heal the sick. And I want you to declare who you are and what your gift is. Mean it. Because I've known this for years. I've been sitting on some of this information for you know, 20 years now of knowing how God was going and will use me. And like I said, I've seen the dream thing kind of explode within the last week. I mean, just, it's been unreal. And I've got to start writing them down, because I've been remembering them. Normally I'll have a dream, and if I don't capture it within, you know, the first so many minutes of me waking up, I might remember bits and pieces, but I don't really remember a lot of detail, where I've been remembering a lot of detail about these dreams. And so, like I said, that revelation came to me when I'm like, wow, when I said that, after I said that, it just, it's like it exploded. I was like, just like after that time I was asked if I was a prophet and I said yes, and then all of a sudden it just, I could prophesy at will. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. I can prophesy over a stranger on the street. Like, I mean, it's just, after I said yes. So say yes to who God says that you are, so that he can operate fully and use you to full capacity. Because I know for myself, you know, there's a phrase that Miles Monroe would say that I have definitely adopted. He said, I want to die empty. And I believe he did. I believe he did. And that's what I want for my life. You know, we all have, we're all appointed a time, unless we're, you know, raptured, but we're all appointed a time to leave this earth, I'll say. And I won't even say die. This, we have a time to leave this earth. And I know when I leave this earth, I want to leave it empty. I don't want to have gifts, talents, things that are still in me that could have enriched the people and edified the people and helped the people and got the people where they needed to be. I don't desire that. I want to make sure that I give this earth everything that I have. Another thing that God has been speaking to me about, that I got revelation about talking to Terrence the other day, is I don't know if you've ever prayed to have the heart of God. And if you do, I'm just telling you, you will get it. A while back, I prayed for that. And I found myself being very grieved all the time because of the state of the world. And like I said before on the show, I keep up on social media to kind of keep up with the attitudes, what's popular, what's trendy, what's going on in the world, you know. And the more I see, the more, I mean, just grieved, sickened, actually. Like, it will literally make me sick, where I'm just like, oh, gosh, this earth. Man, get me F out of here, you know. It just makes me sick. And God gave me the revelation the other day, because one of the first scriptures that God kept telling me over and over again when I was newly saved was, the end times would be as the days of Noah. It's like I could not escape that scripture. And again, not having any background in church, I did not know what as the days of Noah meant. I don't even think I had cracked open a Bible yet to know what that meant. And of course, God has made light of that. But the other day, Terrence and I were talking, and I'm like, we're seeing what God flooded. And it just made sense. I'm like, no wonder I'm so grieved. God was so grieved before he flooded the earth that he regretted. It said God had a whole regret. Let's go to that scripture. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I'm going to give you some scripture on that. Let me pull it up here. Give me a minute. Somebody said, God had regrets. Yes. He regretted. Hold on. I'm going to find that as the days. Give me a minute here. Okay. So let's see. Genesis. Genesis 4. Hold on. No, it's Genesis. It looks like a Genesis 6:6. Give me a minute. Let me pull that up. Okay. Let's go back to 5. Let's do Genesis 6:5, and then we'll read 6. Reading it at Amplified. The Lord saw that the wickedness, depravity of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination or intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Verse 6. The Lord regretted that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was deeply grieved in his heart. So yes, the Lord, the earth, the mankind was so wicked, so evil, that God regretted that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was deeply grieved in his heart. And so when I started to really just have those feelings, and like I said, talking to Terrence the other day, I got the revelation. I said, we're seeing what God flooded. So as the days of Noah, let's read that scripture. Somebody might say, what are you talking about, this as the days of Noah? What does that even mean? Let's go to, let me find the scripture. Told y'all before that when we do the show, we don't even prepare. We just let God do what he does. Okay, let's see. Looks like it's in Matthew. Let's see. Hold on. Stay with me. I'm going to find that scripture just so that you know what I'm talking about. Matthew 24:37. Okay, let's go there. My Bible app is being slow. Hold on. Okay, Matthew. Let's say 24:37, yeah. Okay, let's amplify it still. For the coming of the Son of Man, the Messiah, will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the very day when Noah entered the ark, and they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be unexpected judgment. At that time, two men will be in the field, one will be taken for judgment, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken for judgment, and one will be left. And then there's another scripture that kind of describes how it was, well, it implies that, how it was during the days of Noah. Let's go to Hebrews 11:7. This doesn't even imply, it just tells you flat out. Hold on, let me pull it up. So by faith with confidence in God and his word, Noah, being warned by God about events not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his family. By the act of obedience, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. So that says that, okay, yeah, so it that implies that Noah preached to the people of that time about what was coming, because it says that he, by faith with confidence in God and his word, Noah, being warned by God about events not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his family. By this act of obedience, he condemned the world and became an heir. So that's a implying that Noah preached, because Noah was called a preacher. And imagine how Noah felt knowing, I mean, how many, I don't know how many people were alive during that time of the flood, but imagine Noah being told that what God was going to do. He builds his ark for over 100 years, And it says that Noah was preaching to the people, right? Let me see if I can find that scripture. Is there a scripture on that? Let's see, 2 Peter 2:5. 2 Peter 2:5. It says, and if he did not spare the ancient world but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness with seven others, when he brought the judgment of a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Let's go back up. Let's start with 4. For if God did not even spare angels that sinned, but threw them into hell and sent them to pits of gloom to be kept there for judgment, and if he did not spare the ancient world but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought the judgment of a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, who was tormented by the immoral conduct of unprincipled and ungodly men, for that just man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by what he saw and heard of their lawless acts, then in light of the fact that all this is true, be sure that the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial and how to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the corrupt passions of the sin nature and despise authority. And so this scripture calls Noah. Let's go back up to it. Calls Noah preacher of righteousness. So imagine Noah building this ark for over 100 years, preaching, because he knows what God's about to do. He's been told. Preaching a word of repentance, and not one single human repented. Not one. The people who made it were the original people, Noah and his family. Not one person. That's how wicked and evil the days of Noah were. And so when I told you I prayed to have the heart of God for the world, for people, and just started to just become so grieved constantly and just getting that revelation that we're seeing what God flooded. But the difference is that there are people who will turn away from their wickedness. And so we have a job to do, because I'm sure mankind is going to get worse, because Noah was preaching and couldn't get one of them to turn away. But we have a chance to save people. We have a chance to have an impact. We have a chance to be the salt. And we need to use that time, because our time is not promised. I was organizing my closet today, and I came across my mother's, well, actually I opened my mother's box because my mother was cremated, and looked at some documents that I'd never seen before. Never looked at them, never bothered with them, and it's been 4 years now. And so I was looking at it and started calculating the time that she was cremated to her previous birthday. It was 18 days. 18 days. Hear me tonight. When we talk about time, I want you to hear me closely. One day we were celebrating my mother's birthday. 18 days later, her body was cremated. That's not even a month. There was no long-term sickness. There was no hospital stay. There was, from her birthday to her body being cremated, was a span of 18 days. She died exactly a week after her birthday. And then it took that other amount of time for the funeral. I guess they had to do like the autopsy and all that kind of stuff. It was just, I don't know, it was still kind of a blur. But she died a week after her birthday, unexpectedly. unexpected to me, not to the Lord. And then was cremated from there. But I'm telling you, our time, we don't have time to waste. She didn't know on her birthday that 18 days later her body will be cremated. Think about what you did 18 days ago. Count back 18 days. Imagine if today your body was being cremated. Just like our time is short. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised 18 days from today. You're not promised a week from today. I remember telling my mother on her last birthday that we celebrated, she had made a comment that she was getting old or something like that. And I'm like, no, you're not getting old. I said, you got many birthdays to come. And she said, no, I don't think so. And now in hindsight, I'm like, you know, they say people be knowing, they be having those premonitions or something, whatever they call them, I don't know. But they say people be knowing. Like when you talk to loved ones, the people who pass, and they say, you know, when you think about their last days or weeks or whatever, and they say that they would say little things. Like I was even reading today, one lady was saying how her mother never made a big deal of her birthday, never did her whole life. And then her last birthday with her, she asked for a present. And she never would ask for a present. You know, it's like people would do little things that they normally wouldn't do, or things that kind of stood out. I remember too, my mother, shortly before she passed, just kind of being outside real early one morning, because I was leaving for work, and she was just taking in everything. Like she was just kind of watching the sunrise and watching the sky and all that kind of stuff, which is something she did not do. So I don't know. It's almost like her spirit knew that it was going to leave the earth on this side of this side of the earth and go to eternity. I don't know. Taking in the last of this side. But that revelation hit me so hard today when I looked at that cremation date. I'm like, she was cremated 18 days after her birthday. We had no idea. No idea that that was going to be the case. I had no idea that a week later she would have passed. So it really helps you put things in perspective to just do what you can today. And then if his mercies are made new to you to wake up tomorrow, do all you can tomorrow, and so on and so forth. Now is the time for us to rise forth as a body and for us to take our rightful place and for us to do what we've been called to do. Do the reason why you were born. Whether your parents planned for you or not, God has a reason that you were born. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has gifted you spiritual gifts and talents. And it is time. It's not, we can't be sleeping giants. Now is the time for us to rise forth, because we are seeing as the days of Noah, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, but guess what? Because we are alive in this day, during this time, we're built for this. We're equipped for this. We can't do it in our own power and might. We cannot. I know I can. I'm not even going to sit up there and lie and say that I can, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know the God that I serve. I know that his word is true. And I know that whatever feels heavy, I could swap it out. I could swap it on out. It could be an exchange for his light yoke. So tonight, let's pray before I start answering calls. My co-host is counting sheep over there. I don't know if you can hear me. Woo, but he sounds tired. I might wake up in the middle of me praying, and I'm for sure going to make fun of him. But Let's do a collective prayer and then start answering callers. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just so grateful to have an opportunity to be in your presence. And we just love and we honor you, Father God, and we thank you for being who you are, Lord. Thank you for loving us and for calling us and for equipping us and for giving us purpose. That we find our true identity in you. Help us to grow closer to you, Father God, so that the closer that we get to you, the more that we know who we are. And help us to accept who we are in you, no matter what type of disappointment that may bring to family or friends or those around us, because sometimes people see natural talents in us and they want us to walk in that all the time, but it's not for that. Help us to walk in purpose. And Lord, help us to declare who we are in you and to identify with that. There's all this talk about identity right now in our world, Father God. So many people don't even want to identify with the body that you put them in. But help us to identify with the purpose that you've given our spirit. Help us, Father God, as a body of Christ, to be loving and to attract the broken, the confused, the hurt, the angry, the lost. Help us, Father God, to do it your way, because you came to be an example. And help us to follow your example, not the crowd or them, the imaginary them and they, but to do it your way. Help us to do it your way. Your way. Let that be how we operate our lives, not just a bumper sticker or a shirt that says, what would Jesus do? But really asking ourselves, what would Jesus do? And knowing the answer, not it being some rhetorical question, but really having a heart check and an examination of heart and saying, what would Jesus do? And knowing, because we study you and we know your ways, help us to be studiers of your word so that we can know how to operate, so that we can know how to respond, so that we're not giving emotional responses. We're all guilty of that. But we don't have to continue to do that. Help us to condition ourselves to act upon spirit and kill that flesh and do it your way, because your way gets results. And we are entering into a season that we're going to see accelerated growth, and we're going to see the fruits of our labor. We're going to see our harvest. And we want to make sure that we're sowing the right seeds, and we want to make sure that we're doing things the way they need to be done. Not what was taught by man, but what was displayed by Christ. And Lord, help me to just decrease me, Father God, as I pray over your people and prophesy over your people. Just use my voice, Father God, to give them what they need and to love on them and to edify them and to position them where you want them to be. And Lord, I just thank you for the gift of healing that you've already given me, that you've been prepping me about and telling me about from the time that you found me in my miserable little state. And you've loved on me and built me up and created me a new heart and help to undo all the damage and all the bad mentalities that I came with. And you patiently have loved me to be where I am right now, and you continuously love me, and I'm going to continue to grow and improve. But I accept the call that you have on my life to heal people. Give me the boldness to do it. Let fear not try to take over, but let love guide and rule. I thank you for it, And I thank you for all the listeners, Father God. Let them accept and identify with who you've called them to be. And let not fear try to choke out the purpose that you would have for their lives. Let it all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man.
Oh, welcome to the land of the living. Oh, we already roasted you while you were sitting there calling him hogs. But I'm glad that you're back. It's like Lazarus, because, man, you were out. Let's start taking some callers. You know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to start from the bottom and work my way to the top, because that's the way the Lord told me to do it. Because that's what we're going to see. This is a prophetic thing. This is what we're going to see happen in our world. The people who are at the bottom are going to be at the top. First caller here is 754-240. Who are we speaking to?
Yeah. Wow, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, Donald and Tanya. How are you tonight?
Hey, Donald.
I'm doing good, good.
Amen. Glad to hear from you. You want to start, Terrence, or you want me to start? Okay. Terrence is still, never mind, I'm going to leave him alone. You know how it be when you take the power naps, you wake up and you just be like, huh?
A little groggy.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to let him get his head together. But Lord, we just thank you right now for Donald and Tanya, Father God. We just thank you for the expansion of wisdom. And we thank you for, it's like, Donald, with you, I see, it's kind of like what's going on with me. Like, I remember years ago, I prayed and asked God for wisdom, and I have seen it. I have seen it. Like, I'll say stuff, and I'm like, man, that was so wise. Like, that is none but God. Like, I can't take no credit for anything. God always gets the glory, but I have seen the area of wisdom expand in my life, and I'm starting to see like another, you know, it's almost like layer, like wisdom has layers, and I'm seeing like another wisdom layer unfold where I'm seeing things, but I'm seeing it from a different perspective. Like earlier, I was just talking about how my mother passed 4 years ago, September 4 years ago. And I remember one time just really having a rough day. And I was like, I just want to know what she's doing. And I prayed and asked God to show me what she was doing. And he did. She was in this big kitchen, or what I could describe as a kitchen on earth. That was the best thing I could come up with. And she was cooking, like she was making things, but she had this dress on that was just so glorious. I mean, I can't even describe it. It looked like it was made out of cloth. It looked like it was made out of like diamonds or something. I don't know. But it was like purple, and I just can't even describe it. It was just like the most beautiful piece of clothing I'd ever seen. But she was cooking, like she was preparing. I know she was preparing a feast. And I was like, wow, she's cooking and she likes to cook. But it was when I was looking at her, though I knew that was my mother, because she still had a similar look. But she looked very glorious. But I knew it was like I was looking at it from a different perspective. Like, okay, she's my mother, but that's an earthly role. Like, once I make it there, she's not my quote mother anymore. It's like we're equals. But I still could identify that she played a role as my mother on earth. But it was like, God, he gave me that revelation, and then he started to speak to me about how so many people get in bondage because of earthly roles. Like, I've seen people who have allowed their children to destroy their lives because, well, that's my kid, that's my son, that's my cousin, you know, that's my mom, that's my aunt, that's my uncle. And they will choke out the purpose of God in their life because they're being loyal to an earthly label that's an earthly thing. It's a temporary label that God does for, you know, his reasons. But people will choke out their purpose, the purpose that God has for their life, because they're too busy taking care of, you know, a wayward person who has a earthly title. But it was like a layer of wisdom that I never thought about before, you know, because God told me, he's like, this is why, you know, in the end times, you know, there's a scripture that even talks about Jesus coming to turn, you know, like brother from brother, sister, father from kid, something like that. And I'm like, why would he do that? Because he wants to be chosen. You got to be willing to put everything behind and follow after him, even these earthly titles that we hold so dear. But in order for me to even understand that scripture, I have to have that layer of wisdom to understand how you can do that is you can separate yourself, understand the title, but separate yourself from it at the same time and know that this is an earthly thing. So I'm not going to allow it to get in the way of what God is doing in my life. But this is what I'm seeing with you, that God is going to really expand your wisdom area where things that you've seen before. So it's not like you're getting new information per se. You're just getting, it's just being expanded. So, you know, like I know my mother was my mother, but now I understand what roles are, earthly roles. God has expanded my wisdom, my knowledge on that, which is how people can have the ability to walk away from if there's like a toxic parent or a child or whatever the case may be, how they can do it because they can separate that, you know, while on this earth, I'm your mother, or while on this earth, I'm your cousin or whoever the case may be. I can't allow that temporary role, that temporary title that's only bound on this earth to get in the way of what God is doing in my life or the purpose, the eternal purpose that God has for me. So it has changed my life. It changed the way that I look at things because, I mean, I see people get stuck because of titles. But if God would not have expanded my wisdom in that area, I would not have, I would understand and probably could get stuck on things too. But that's what I'm seeing, that God is going to expand your wisdom. So you're really going to be saying things and it's going to go over people's heads. They're like, what? Like even what I'm saying right now is probably flying over people's head. But God is going to give you the ability to like break it down. Because I know even with this whole title thing, God – it's something that I will teach on eventually, even with what I was talking about earlier, as the days of Noah and how we're seeing what God flooded, God is going to have me to study that and teach on that. And so that we can understand what's going on. Because what, like I said, I was just grieving all the time. I'm like, why am I always feeling so grief stricken about everything that's going on? But just getting that revelation that I'm seeing what God flooded, I can't even imagine how God was feeling if I'm a human being who's flawed and jacked up and still was grieving over seeing all the sin and all this kind of stuff. Imagine a pure God, how he was grieving to where he regretted even making mankind. So, but that's what I see with you. You're going to have expanded wisdom. So just get ready for that. But God is going to give you the ability to simplify it where people can understand it, what you're saying. And their minds are going to be like, oh my gosh. Like, oh my gosh, because there's things that are just hidden. Doesn't make them any less real. They're just hidden. Terrence and I were talking about this Wednesday. If there's $1 million buried in your backyard, it didn't become real when you unearthed it. It was always there. It was always real. It just was hidden. And so there's some wisdom. There's some layers of wisdom, rather, that's hidden that God is going to use people to unearth and to reveal, and you're one of those people where you're going to reveal things. Doesn't make them any less true. It's not new truth. It's just hidden truth, like $1 million buried in the backyard. It's not, it's new to that person who found it, but it's old because it's been there. It's been there. It's been true. It just had to come to the surface. So God's going to use you to do that. And we just thank you, Lord, for that expanded wisdom in Donald. And we thank you, Father God, that you're going to give him the words to simplify it so people can accept it, because, or they can understand it. Because sometimes people understand things and they still don't accept it, and that's on them. But they're going to know that what he was saying, they're going to know what he's talking about, so there's not going to be an excuse like, well, I was confused. No, you just didn't want to accept it. You understood what he was saying, you just didn't want to accept it. So, Lord, we just thank you that you're going to give them the word so that people can understand it. And then it's up to them to act on it or not, but they're going to have the understanding, so they'll be accountable to it. And let that be done in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you right now for Tanya, Father God. We just thank you for giving her like a supernatural favor with people where it's, they don't even know why they're doing it. They don't even know why. And it's going to produce a boldness. It's like even now with Terrence, when we, Terrence and I, we bought this house. We bought that. We didn't know that the market was so crazy when we bought the house. Had no clue. I'm glad that we didn't know because it might have intimidated me a little bit. Something that I'm always working on, even after all these years of serving God, is being, like before I was serving God, I worked a lot on facts. So I was more into like facts and that kind of stuff and operating based on facts, data, statistic, like that was kind of how I operated. And so coming into Christ was different because I was basing it on just God said it. I'm like, okay, like where's the proof? Where's the data? There's nothing, just God. So there was like a struggle for me for a while because I went from just being very data driven to faith driven. And but because that was my foundation, it tries to creep up every now and again because it's so ingrained in me that it tries to creep up. So I'm glad that I did not know what the data was showing and the quote facts and the market trends. And I'm glad I didn't know all that stuff when we were looking because I wouldn't just we wouldn't have been bold enough to just be like, we want this house. You know, we wouldn't have been so well, Terrence would have because Terrence is a very faith-filled individual, but I might have been more scary if I would have known how bad the market was. But we really got favor. We everything. I mean, we God really showed out, and we really walked in favor despite what was going on. And this is what I'm seeing for you, Tanya, that you're going to have like favor where it's not like where people can say, oh, people always try to call it luck. Lucky is luck. You're just at the right place at the right time. It's gonna be like it's gonna be so outrageous where they're like, nah, that's favor. They're not even people who aren't even godly gonna call it favor. Because that's gonna be the only word in their vocabulary that they can select that makes sense of what how God is gonna show you favor with people. Where, you know, things that are like closed off or they're like, nope, not gonna happen, and then here you come and it's gonna happen. Where it was like, there's no way. That wasn't luck because it was a no. It was a hard no. Not even a soft no, but a hard one. And then you'll come in and get it. Or deal with a person who's normally very nasty and hard to deal with, and you'll get your way out of them. Get them to do the things that you want them to do or things that need to be done. You know, you're really going to have favor where people are going to see it. And people, you know, when people see things, they might not know quite what it is, but they see things and they can identify the truth of the matter. They'll say, I don't know what's going on with that Tanya chick, but I just know that when she be wanting stuff and trying to get stuff done, even when it normally can't be done, she gets it done. And whether they're godly or not, people will identify that. So people are going to try to take advantage of that and try to get you to get on board with stuff because they know that that anointing is on you, but God is going to give you a strong discernment so that you know how to use that favor and not be exploited or manipulated or taken advantage of because people will try it. That's just the nature of people. They'll try it. They'll be like, man, we've been trying to get this the city to approve this land over here. And if we get that Tanya lady to talk to them, maybe they'll say, yeah. And they'll try to, you know, tell you some sob story like, oh, we're running out of seniors. We don't have land to build senior citizen communities, and they need places to stay. And if you could just help us with that so we can secure that land so that the seniors need a place to stay with affordable. They'll come with lies and try to make it sound good and try to jazz it up. And it'd be some lace trim, just scumbag garbage. Make it look all dainty on the outside, but it's just trash on the inside. But you'll have the discernment to be able to see that. Like, wow, you know, I hear your plight. And while I have a heart for the seniors and, you know, communities that are income-based, God is not telling me to get on board with that. So, you know, you're going to have to find another way. And maybe that'll work for you, maybe not, but that's not my fight. And I don't have a habit of fighting battles that I'm not assigned to. So best wishes and go about your business. But they're going to try it like that, make it sound all good and stuff. And, of course, initially you'll be like, oh, wow, that does sound like a good cause or something I want to get on board with. Then you get with God and he'd be like, nope. And you ain't even got to ask why. Like, well, God, the seniors, ain't he? Nope. If God says no, it's just a no. But that's what I'm seeing for you, Tanya, where you're going to just have tremendous favor with people, godly and ungodly. You're going to have favor. And people are going to identify it to where they're like, what in the world's going on? And some people will start rumors about you and say, oh, she's paying these people off or she's got family connected or something. You know, people are always trying to find a reason. They try to fill in the blank. When they don't have the truth, they'll fill in the blank with absolutely no proof of what they're saying, just because they think it. That's just the society we live in, and people will go along with it. Yeah, she's only getting that because her uncle's on the board, and no uncle on the board, because they don't know, and they ain't asked God, and they don't have no wisdom. It's foolish, just making something up, you know. So God will always vindicate, and God will keep your name pure, but that just kind of comes along with the territory when you have unmerited favor, and when you have favor with people always trying to find a reason why you have favor. They'll say she's doing things to get that favor. How she get that man to change his mind about that? Nobody else could let him talk, because some things ain't even worth giving energy to or defending. Just let God defend you. So Lord, we just thank you right now for the favor, the anointing of favor that you are placed on in Tanya's life. And we thank you, Father God, that she will use it to bring about change that's going to benefit the body of Christ and that's going to give your name glory. And Father God, just always defend her name. Keep her name pure, her reputation pure. And so, Lord, we just thank you that combined even with Donald's expanded wisdom and Tanya's favor, that they'll have great impacts in their community. They'll have great impacts within their family. They'll have great impacts within the world. So let it all be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Tanisha. Man, I'm shocked I was first to get on the call tonight. Because I was expected to be last, like you said.
Right, because you were last.
But you did it differently. Yeah. I know I clicked it late, and I already figured. I said, I know it's gonna be a while before I get on until you switched it up. I was like, okay.
Yep.
Now, thank God for that.
He said, go from the bottom to the top, because that's what he's about to do in this world. That those who are looked at the bottom, they're gonna be the first. They're gonna go to the top.
Amen.
So, even that's prophetic for you, that.
Amen.
Areas where you might look like you're at the bottom, like a David. I think I've told you that before. Like David was a shepherd.
Yeah.
That was like the McDonald's worker of his time. No offense to McDonald's workers, but people tend to look down on McDonald's workers. I love McDonald's workers. Everybody who has a job has a purpose. Somebody got to do their job. But people will always use it as an, you know, when they talk about low jobs, they always want to bring up McDonald's, not knowing that some of the McDonald's workers be getting paid, but that's another topic. But he was like the McDonald's worker of his time, like something that was looked upon lowly and became the king. The bottom became the top. And his brothers was feeling some sort of way about him and all that. He ended up being the king. So that's prophetic for you, that it don't matter like what your position is right now, that'll change. You'll rule. You'll be at the top. The king is the top.
Amen.
David went from the bottom, literally from the bottom to the top. He went from top ramen to speak. Just like, I mean, it took some time, but he did. So that's you too. That's going to be you, where people are going to be like, dang, I know Donald, he was this, that, and the other. Okay, but I was that. Let's talk about now. Because people always want to talk about what you was. But it's like, let's talk about where I am now. That's my past, and that makes me relatable to people who are where I was, but that's not who I am anymore. But the skills that I picked up there, I can use where I'm at now. Like David being a shepherd helped him learn how to shepherd people. So it was a skill, even though he was at the bottom, it was a skill that God used even as he was a king. So that's prophetic for you, that bottom going to the top. And never was the bottom in God's sight. I'm talking about from man's sight, because we all have purpose. Shepherds are needed. Jesus was a shepherd. But people didn't look at shepherds back then as like, nobody was like, you know what I mean? I grew up a shepherd. Like that just wasn't considered like a high top quality thing. But to God it was, and to God it is. So never God looking at us like we're bottom. We could be whatever. We could be people who get bubble gum off of the concrete, and God looks highly on that. So when I'm saying bottom, I'm not saying from a God perspective. I'm saying from people. But people think, because God always thinks highly of us. So, yeah, there you have it.
Amen. Well, I receive it. I receive it for me and Tanya. Tanya was attending to the other little one.
Okay.
while you guys were talking. Yeah, so I had one in my hand and she had the other one in the other room. So, but now we receive it. And I even felt just by you switching it up and getting the last, I just felt some type of way just by that movement. So I know that was spiritual and prophetic in itself as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing I was just going to ask you to pray for us for. So me and Ty, we were talking about this earlier, and it's just some things coming up, you know, like let's just say like in the next month or so like that, where we've been just trying to figure out like, yo, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And basically the answer has been, and we really don't know. So there's a lot of I don't knows that's been coming up. There's a few I don't knows that's been coming up, for the coming months. And, you know, I just want to pray on that. You know, I called God. I just said, man, you're the God of my I don't knows.
So, right.
You know, I'm just praying for that. Just for the unknown, you know, we have faith and we know that, hey, God's going to take care of everything that's in our lives and, you know, everything that's there. We just praying for, you know, wisdom, and matter of fact, that's what you prophesied over earlier. But pray for wisdom making decisions and you know, just giving us ideas as far as what to do. And you know, that's basically it, because just certain things that we really don't know and don't have an idea of what we're gonna do about in the upcoming month. And so I just wanted to just pray on that.
Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you know you're already in the month ahead. You're in the 2 months ahead. You're already in the eternal. And so, Lord, we just thank you that the answers that Donald and Tanya don't know right now have already been provided. We know that you're faithful to us. You love us. I think back, Father God, I know that you're no respecter of person. I think back in my life when I had a lot of unknowns, I had a lot of I don't know. And Lord, you came through every time. Every time. Now I'm going to tell you a few. And I know I've told them on the show before. I remember one time when my ex-husband and I, he wasn't going to pay the rent. And I just re-entered the job market. And I was like, I need to just pay this one last rent because I just got a job. And you know how when you get a new job, you get paid like 3 weeks later. And it was one of those situations. I started the job in the end of the month. Rent was due like the next 10 days. So I'm like, first of all, I'm not going to have a check in time. And then even when I do get a check, it's not going to be enough to cover the rent. And he told me no. So I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. I wasn't in a position to ask my family and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up supernaturally getting the money. Supernaturally. I was in college at the time, And I got an email from the financial aid office, and it said that they underpaid me for one of the grants that I had. And I'm like, what? That don't even sound right. It sounds like a scam. I'm like, this is some sort of scam. So I called the financial aid office. First of all, it was always hard to get through to them. I got right through, which was odd. And I asked the lady, I'm like, have you ever heard of, like, you guys saying that you paid too little on a grant and now you're going to, like, give the money? And she was like, no. I said, okay, I think I got scammed. I think somebody's trying to hack my email or something. I don't know. I was like, can you look into it? So she did. And she goes, yeah, it looks like we underpaid you for one of your grants. And I'm like, okay, a grant is free money. Like, why would you? That don't make sense. And she was like, well, yeah, but the computer says that we underpaid you, so we're going to give you the money. And I'm like, okay, so how much? And she told me it was enough that would cover the rent and then some. So I was like,
amen.
When do I get it? And she said, oh, we already deposited. You should already have it. And I was like, oh, okay. Now, I didn't check my bank account because you know when you got 23 cents in the bank. I don't need to be taunted and call in and see that 23 cents that ain't helping. So I checked my bank, and sure enough, the money was there. And just the night before, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, Laura. I remember saying that. I don't know how I'm going to pay rent. The answer was already there before I even prayed it. Because the money had been sitting in my bank account for like 3 days. But I knew God was going to come through. And then I got the email the next day. And then that's when the lady told me the money was in there. I wouldn't have never checked that bank account. I ain't checking 23 cents or however much was in there. It was something that was under a dollar. So I had the money to pay the rent and had enough to buy groceries. Around that same time, even when I started that job, I needed to put my kids in daycare. Again, no help. I went from being like an at-home mom and full-time student to being a single parent of four. No money. So I remember one time I was looking around trying to find daycares. The job that I had accepted, they said I was going to be working a late shift. So I needed a daycare that was going to be open pretty late, which was uncommon at that time. And so I had just went to another daycare and felt very defeated because they said they closed at 6. And they were already saying that the job I might get off at 7 or 8. And I'm asking the lady, like, can you work with me if I get off at 7 or 8? And she's like, no, we got families to go home to, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. And I remember being at a stoplight. I put my head on the steering wheel and I said, Jesus, help. Because I didn't know what I was going to do. Mm. Like, I got this job that I'm about to start. I don't have the money to pay a daycare, first of all, first week and 2 weeks or whatever, and plus registration fees and all this kind of stuff. I was like, but I need to start this job. And I said, Jesus, help, put my head on the steering wheel. He said, look up. I looked up and there was a van for this daycare, and it said 24-hour daycare, and it had a website on it. So I was like, what could this? Okay. So I just memorized the website. I was not that far from my house, got to my house, pulled up the website. It was nice. I'm like, dang, this website's nice. They probably cost an arm and a leg, but I was like, I'm going to go ahead and call them. Called them. The lady was literally right down the street. The daycare was right down at like 3-4 minutes from my house. I never even heard of it. Went, talked to the lady. She told me they were 24 hours, and I'm like, okay, cool. She's telling me rates and all this kind of stuff, and we just got to talking, and she asked me, why did I need a 24-hour daycare if I was a nurse or whatever, and I'm telling her my situation. And she's like, you know what? Just bring your kids. Don't worry about payment, none of that. Just bring them. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. She's like, I just feel like, I'm supposed to let your kids start. She's like, you know, just don't even worry about the money. Like, you could pay me later, but just bring them. You could start bringing your kids. And some of my kids were in elementary, and she's like, and we'll pick them up from the elementary school and bring them here after school. So you ain't got to worry about picking them up. And I was like, I just cried. I cried. Wow. I've got story after story after story where I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, and meant it. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, I for real didn't know. Even like when we bought this house and we signed a contract, and they were like, yeah, Texas, they're changing something, and now you got to pay title fees and blah, blah, blah. I didn't know none of that. I ain't bought no house before. And our realtor goes, yeah, that's about $10,000. And then you're going to need this, that, and the other. $10,000. I ain't got no $10,000. So Terrence told her, he said, well, we don't have it. And I don't know how we going to get it. But God will come through. And he meant just that. And when we closed on his house, we didn't pay a dime to close. We got money back at closing. We didn't pay no $10,000. We didn't pay no $10. We didn't know, but that's what they was telling us, that that's what we were going to need. You're going to need $10,000 for the title fees and blah, 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 and then you're going to need closing costs and yada, 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 and doing all this. And I'm just, math is just calculating in my head, and I'm thinking about our savings, and the math was not mathing. I'm like, hold on. According to my calculation, I'm not good at math, but we don't have just the title fee. And so, like, I don't know how that's going to work. We didn't back out of the contract. And we didn't pay nothing. We got money back. Time after time after time after time, I have had these type of situations happen. I remember I got fired from a job. First time I got fired from a job in my whole life was in 2017. I had never been fired from a job before. Got fired. I was excited because I really didn't like the job. But I needed a job. And somebody I knew ended up hiring me for a job that I didn't even apply for, making triple what I was making at the job I got fired from and being able to work from home full time. I didn't know how. I was like, dang, I just got fired from my job. I don't know. My resume wasn't even up to date. But God came through, and it was better. I was like, I can work from home, and I'm making triple the money and making bonuses and all. Like, I remember driving off, like, I don't know what I'm going to do after this. But, well. God came through. I remember my son had an incident at school where he busted his head on the playground. I had to take him to the ER. They put staples in his head. And, of course, you know, if you go to the ER, you're basically paying an arm, a leg, and your firstborn child. Like, the prices are astronomical. And so I did not have insurance at the time. I didn't have health insurance. And I remember the lady in the front, the person who did the billing, she was mean. And she's like, what can you pay to that? I was like, I don't have nothing today. This is an emergency situation. I'll pay you something when I come back. So I did. I ended up having to take him back to the same ER to get the staples removed from his head. And so when we're leaving out, here come old nasty pants. What you paying because his bills are adding that? And I'm like, I got $5. that I can give you. So she snatched my little $5, gave me a receipt, and she's like, you know, these bills, we'll send you to collections and blah, blah, blah. And I told her, I said, look, I don't know how I'm going to pay you, but I will pay you. I really didn't know how I was going to pay her. Fast forward like maybe a month, two, I'm getting bills. I mean, these bills were high. I can't remember how much in bills was, but they were, I think that one visit alone to remove the staples was like $5,000. It was insane. And I get this letter from, I want to say it was from the state of Texas or something, saying your children are approved. I'm like, approved for what? So I call the number and I'm like, what is this? And they're like, oh, we approved you for some sort of medical insurance. And I was like, I didn't apply for this. And they're like, well, before we, because Texas used to have some program where you could like buy into the insurance. And I guess they had done away with that program. So I thought when the program was done, so was my application. Well, apparently they had created another program that I was eligible for. Nobody bothered to tell me, which is very Texan, and they approved me for it. So I'm like, okay, so my kids have insurance. And they were like, yes. And I was like, okay, so like how much is it? Like, how? And they're like, there's no fee. And I'm like, there's no fee? That doesn't make sense. I'm like, so I could take them to the doctor and all that kind of stuff. We're like, what's the copay and all that? They're like, nothing. It's covered. It was like some limited time plan. So I was like, when is it effective? And it was effective like 4 months back. So I was like, well, I took my son to the hospital a couple months ago to get stitches, and I'm telling her the story. I'm like, will you pay for that? And she said, yeah, just submit the bill. I said, wait, on this date, because I have the bills, my son went to the hospital, and then I took him back on this date. You will pay those bills? She's like, yeah, because it was effective on whatever date, which was like 2 months prior to the date that I had taken him to the hospital. So she's like, do you have the bills? And I'm like, yeah. And she gave me like some fax number or whatever. So I just submit the bills and we'll pay them. Do you know that people paid them bills? I did just what she told me to do. And that hospital sent me a check for $5. They refunded the $5. So it don't matter that you don't know. I love that you said he's God of the, I don't know. God is, it's already taken care of. Sleep soundly. Amen. Don't stress about it. Don't worry about it, because whatever it is, God is going to take care of it. These situations that I was in were not like light situations, like am I going to, you know, have the shrimp or the salmon? You know, I had some life decisions where it felt like my livelihood, it felt like my children's livelihood, it felt like where I had to stay. These things were on the line. These are things that will stress you out when you feel like you don't know if you're going to be living under a bridge or in a box within the next, you know, few days. Or you feel like you're going to have to turn down a job and you need that job. You got to move, pack back, and go back to California and live with mama. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I know that if God would not have come through, my life would have been bad things. But God came through every single time. Story after story after story after story. I can tell you I've been walking with God for over 20 years. And I've had many I don't know situations. And every single time he came through. That's one thing I will say. I told my son, my oldest son, one of my biggest regrets in life thus far is that I stressed about things I didn't know and didn't just trust God and sleep soundly. Because with that rent situation, man, I'm not going to lie, I was losing sleep. I was losing weight because I'm like, I'm responsible for these kids. Like, I don't have the luxury. If it was just me, I'd have slept in a car. I wouldn't care. But I was like, I got kids to concern myself with. And the money was there. That lady said, we already deposited. This is before apps. So I had to log in from my computer to check my bank. Oh, no, I think I had to call in and check my bank account. And sure enough, it was like, your balance is blah, blah, blah. Last deposit was. And I'm like, that was 3 days ago. I'm like, Lord, you was in there and let me stress out for nothing. For nothing. And he like, you one that didn't trust me. Like, you did have the money. And to buy some groceries. So God's no respecter of persons. The same things that he did for me, he'll do for y'all. Even medical stuff. There was a time I was supposed to have surgery, and I had these big tumors in my uterus, and they were getting bigger. My doctor was terrified. Went down to get the final ultrasound and stuff before surgery, and they were gone to the point where the center that was doing the ultrasound was like, what kind of quack do you have for a doctor? Like, you have the most healthy uterus I've ever seen. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, he had me to feel them. It felt like hard balls was in my stomach area. And then when he saw who my doctor was, because I had one of the top doctors in San Diego, he's like, oh, that's your doctor? Like, oh, if he said it was there, it was there. He's like, this must be some kind of miracle. Like, medical stuff. Where God has come through. So God is going to do it. It's already done. Just like that rent situation. Here I was stressed out, wasn't eating, and the money was sitting there the whole time. Trying to figure out who I'm going to pay. Like, okay, if I split the rent between five people, I'm going to owe five people X amount of money. And then when I get my checks, money was already there. I know the Lord was looking at me like, really? Like, I know, not the one who gets excited when and talking about trusting God and be hooping and hollering in church. But now when you got to walk the word, you falling apart and folding like a cheap suit. Not her. But I learned about myself, too, that was I really trusting? Because I was really, really falling apart. Really was falling apart. So just trust God. Don't lose sleep. Make your request known and expect to receive an answer. Sometimes you're going to receive the answer like right at the last minute like me. Because when I called them people, I think the rent was due like the next day. So that's why I was eager to know, like, I hope this is for real. Like, I really thought it was a scam. I was like, man, I hope it's not a scam because I really need that money because tomorrow rent's due. And I think I had like a 3 or 5 day grace period. So I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to make this work. I can't, ain't enough plasma and blood donation in the world to make up for rent money. But it felt like it was like right at the last minute. But he came through when I needed him to come through. I didn't pay that rent late. Them hospital bills got paid. I was able to start that daycare with zero money down, like a leased car. And then the lady, when I was with the daycare lady, she let me start with no money. And then I was having to pay her, and it was killing me. I ain't going to lie. It was expensive. Daycare is expensive. And she told me about this program. And she's like, you can get on this program, but they got a really long waiting list. And I'm like, okay. So I called the program, got on it. They said, yeah, 2 years, we'll give you a call. And I was like, oh, my gosh, 2 years. Like, I need the help now. Like, this daycare is eating up my whole check. She was working with me with payments, but still it was just so expensive. And then my kids started going to an after-school program at their school. And the director was like, hey, have you heard of this program? And I'm like, yeah, I'm already on the waiting list. And he's like, how long did they tell you? And I was like, 2 years. And he's like, I'm going to tell you a secret. And I'm like, okay, do tell. And he's like, keep calling them. Just bug them. Keep calling them. And I'm a persistent person by nature. So I'm like, okay, I would call them people all the time to where they knew my number, when they knew my voice. So they're like, oh, hey, Tanisha, yeah, 2 years. Yeah, we'll call you. Please stop calling us. I'm like, okay, talk to you Wednesday. They're like, no, don't. And I'd hang up, and I keep calling. I did this for like 2 months. Kept calling. And finally one day, the lady's like, Tanisha, you know what? I'm going to send you the papers. And you got 2 days to get them back to me. And if you get back papers to me in 2 days, you're in. I said, I'm going to do you one better. I said, I'm going to fill out these papers. As soon as you give them to me, I'll bring them the next day. I'll drive them down there. And that's exactly what she did. She sent the papers. I filled them out that night, got all the stuff she needed, drove them down, met everybody. The staff was so excited to me. Like, you the one that keep calling? I'm like, yeah, that's me. But I was able to get in. 2 years went to 2 months. But it started with that lady even giving me the favor to let me bring my kids. And then I had a balance with the daycare because she was letting me make payments. Because I told them, like, look, your payments, while they're lower than most, they're still killing me because I got to pay rent, all this other. Like, it's just me. So she's like, okay, you can make payments. So I owed her a little balance, well, a big balance. And they ended up, that program ended up taking care of the balance too. They took care of the balance, and then my daycare payments went from like, I think I was paying like, oh my gosh, I know it was like $265, I think, just for my son. And then I was paying for the after school care, like another like $120. And then I was paying like a meal fee. I can't remember, it was very expensive per week. I think it was like $400 a week or something crazy. And it went from me having to pay $400 a week to like $40 a week. Because that program took care of the rest of favor. I'm telling God, it's going to come through. Whether it be medical, whether it be financial, whether it be a housing situation, whether it be your car. I've had favor with cars. I had a whole car breakdown and in a whole different state. I ended up getting favor with a company to go tow it, get it, and give me a good price on the transmission. Like, it don't matter what it is. The answer is already there. Jobs, people being funky, bad neighbors, it don't matter. God has come through to me, and I could write a book just on the favors of I don't know what's going to happen. And God saying, well, you know what? Good thing I know, because I'm all knowing. You're going to come through. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you're coming through for Donald and Tanya. They don't know, but you know. And we trust you. We trust your knowledge, and we trust your know. So let them rest easy on that. And Lord, we know what your word says, that you're going to supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. And we believe that, and we trust that, Father God, and give them the answers when they need the answers. And know that all of this is just stretching their faith and helping them to have even deeper trust in you, like it did with me in my life when I went through those situations where I was like, I don't know. Those situations where I said, if God don't come through, I'm toast. And you came through every time. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Tanisha. Thank you, Terrence. We appreciate it. And thank you for the testimonies. That really gave a boost as well.
You're welcome. I'm glad that you guys called in tonight and got what you need. Terrence is back to calling hogs. So that man is tired. That man is tired.
It was the effort that counts.
Exactly. He's with us in spirit because that body is out of here. It's gone.
Amen.
Well, give Tanya our love and those babies, and we'll continue to pray for you. And like I said, sleep easy. Don't be like me where I was not sleeping. Sleep.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before I go, I'll say that's one thing that's different from the past where, yeah, don't get me wrong, it is a little stressful, but mm-hmm. I find myself not trying to make something happen like in the past. I'm always trying to think and brain wrestle and trying to, okay, I got to make something happen. And I feel like this time I'm really stepping back and I'm saying, well, God, I'm going to see how you let it play out. And
right.
And that's the difference. It's still stressful, but it's not as stressful. Like knowing myself, I'm not handling it like I would in the past. Like, you know,
right.
I'll be more stressed out and trying to work on things and trying to formulate a plan. And it's more so I have ideas, but I've just sat back and I just said, you know what? I'll let things play out. God, I'll let you play it out and see how things work out. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's just how he had me during this time and this season where, you know, I've just been stepping back and just seeing just how God's going to make it work out.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. But I thank you. I thank you for the prayer and I thank you for the love, the testimony.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in. And we'll be talking to you
soon.
No
problem. All right. All right, Tanisha.
That's a great attitude to have. And that's what we all need to have, to just let God be God. Let things play out. Because I know that that's something I had to learn the harder way. Losing sleep, pulling my hair out, stressing myself out. And God always had the answer. So, you know, let's follow Donald's example and just let things play out. Because a lot of times, yeah, we could come up with answers. We can. We could come up with ways that we would do things, but God's ways are not like our ways and his thoughts are not like our thoughts. And God also is considering everybody involved. You know, we'll be thinking about ourselves. But God is always thinking about everybody. And so sometimes he does things a certain way for somebody else's benefit or somebody else's breakthrough. So we got to just let God do things his way and trust him because he loves us. We have to always remember that because I remember kind of having those like, okay, God, you love me. Certainly you're not going to have me under the bridge with the trolls, you know? So you have to always remember that God loves you and he has plans for you with an expected end. So we have to keep that in mind. All right, let's go to our next caller here, 470-433. Who am I speaking with?
Shavuina.
Could you repeat that?
Oh, my name is Shavuina.
Did you say Shavuina?
No, Shavuina.
Shavuina?
No, Shavuina.
Oh, Sabrina. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sounded low. I'm sorry. I'm just making up a whole new thing.
It's okay.
I'm like, that's different, Shawn. How are you tonight, Sabrina?
I'm doing good, ma'am. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm glad that you called in, even if I got your name wrong a couple of times. But
that's okay.
Great for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Sabrina, Father God. We just thank you for you showing her your different names and her having the revelation that you are the great I am, that everything that she needs, you are, because you say I am. When Moses said, who do I tell Pharaoh who sent me? And you said, tell him I am sent you. And for some of us, that doesn't make sense. And I know when I first started reading the Word of God, it didn't make sense. But now I understand what that means, that you are the great I am. If I say I need help, you are help. If I say I need healing, you are healing. If I say I need companionship, you are my companion. If I say I'm weary, you say I am rest. You are the great I am. That has not changed. And Lord, we just thank you that Sabrina is going to see you in so many, understand what that means in new ways, that you are the great I am, because she's going to see you be everything that she needs, so that she understands beyond a shadow of a doubt that when she has you, she has everything, because you are. You're the I am. So when we have you, we have it all. There's nothing else to seek outside of you, because everything is found in you, because you are everything. And so we thank you for that, Father God. We thank you for her laying her heart bare before you, so that you can come enter into her heart and do the necessary repairs and do the necessary work that's needed and necessary for her to get to the next level and for her to get to where you need her to be. We all come into the fold with heart conditions, every last one of us. There's nobody who's immune to that. But so many of us don't want to identify or recognize or even acknowledge that there's things in our heart that require change. And so we keep doing the same things. We keep having the same downfalls and the same snares because we don't allow you to do the work so that we can be able to receive certain seed. Even your word gives the examples that the condition of the heart determines what happens with the seed. And some of us don't have the right heart for the seed to take root. And so I thank you, Father God, that she's laying her heart bare, opening her heart completely, all areas, even the hurtful ones, so that you can do the necessary work. And we thank you, Father God, that she trusts you without hesitation, that she just trusts you. And without explanation, even when people say, well, why are you doing that, or why aren't you doing this? Because I trust God. So I do what God tells me to do, and I don't do what God tells me not to do. And just pure trust, no matter who likes it or who doesn't, that it's just a pure trust in you. And we thank you, Father God, that her trust is going to be put on display, and the rewards and what comes along with living a life trusting in God and having faith is going to be put on display. And we thank you all for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sabrina, what I saw with you was I remember at one point in my walk, it's like I was letting God in certain areas of my life, mm-hmm. but some I was like, I got that. Nobody needs to know about that. Just really thinking God didn't know. I don't know what I was thinking. But I remember just wanting to have breakthroughs in certain areas, and God you won't let me in these. It's like these doors that you have, these padlocks on that. I could see what's beyond the door, but you don't want to let me in the door. You don't want to let me clean out those closets. And having to really surrender and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you in to those areas. And it changed my life. When I became a believer, I didn't really like people. Mm-hmm. And I remember when God told me who I was and when he called me to do, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work because I don't really like people. And then when he told me about the prophecy thing, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work because that's just weird. And God had to really condition me to become who I am. But one of the biggest, for me, that whole dislike of people, I'm like, But once I let God clean up my heart, that changed. And I realized that the reason why I didn't like people was because of defense mechanisms and past hurts, pains. There was things that made me identify with not liking people because there was fear there. But when I allowed God to come in and clean up those areas, I started to develop a genuine love for people, not fake, but genuinely loving people, whether I knew them or not, just having a love for people. And that started to develop to me really wanting to see people grow. I mean, it changed, but I had to allow God into those areas of hurt in my heart before I was able to have a heart for people. And I see God, like you allowing God into certain areas,
yes,
and it changing you.
Yes.
Because now certain seeds will be able to take root. And everybody has things that go on in their heart, everybody. But everybody doesn't allow God access, even though he can access it if he wants to. But mm-hmm. we have to ask God to do it. We have to give him allowance, because even though we have free will, we can still do what we want to do, yes, including keeping him out and not allowing him to be in certain areas of our life, not allowing him to be Lord over every area of our life. A lot of people, he's just Lord over their salvation, but not Lord over their childhood, past childhood trauma, or, you know, their bad relationships, or their finances, or whatever area. And when we don't allow him to be Lord over those areas, we'll never have the success that he's purposed us to have. But I'm seeing you laying your heart bare. To lay your heart bare means to, like, really just expose yourself.
Yeah.
Open and expose. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had to do. And it was painful because there was things that came out that I had not dealt with in years, things I kind of just buried and figured, because I wasn't thinking about them, that they weren't affecting me, mm-hmm. but they were affecting me. Mm-hmm. It was causing bitterness in me that I didn't even know what the root of it was anymore, because I hadn't thought about certain things for so long that I didn't know that it was a bitter root. It had caused strongholds. It had caused bad mentalities. It had caused blindness in the way that I saw things. It's like I had scales over my eyes in certain areas. It caused mistrust. There was all these different things that the very thing that I wasn't dealing with, wasn't thinking about, but it was taking an effect in my life. But I wasn't acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. And that's a trick of the enemy. Like, oh, you don't got to think about that. That was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll use it and try to trick us, because he knows that what the word of God says, that the truth is what sets you free. If I don't acknowledge the truth of even my hurt, I don't have freedom. I'm in bondage now. And that's what was happening. I was in bondage and didn't even know what was causing the bondage, because I wasn't acknowledging the truth of what was going on inside of me, because I had buried the truth. Mm-hmm. I had buried it so I wouldn't acknowledge it. And so therefore I was in bondage, and then didn't know I was in bondage, and then was getting frustrated because I wasn't having success in certain areas and didn't know why, until God told me, you're not letting me in. You need to let me in. So I clean you up and get you to where you need to be, because who I say you are is who you are. If you allow me to, you know, if you allow that, mm-hmm. what you are right now, who you are right now, that could change. Because look at Paul. He went from Saul to Paul just like that. Because he had a heart change. That's what happened with Paul. It wasn't that he had a knowledge change. He had a heart change. And that's what changed the trajectory of his life. He went from being a persecutor of Christians to writing most of the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
to just that boldness that Paul had because of a heart change. So you laying your heart bare is going to change you in good ways, to where you'll be like, oh, my gosh, I never thought I would have never guessed in 2000. And one,
mm-hmm.
that I would love people, genuinely love people.
Mm.
Never would have guessed that.
Because
I remember telling, I don't like people. Telling the Lord that, just all bold, I don't like people. So, no, that ain't going to work. And like I said, he told me, I called you to be a prophet. I said, that's weird. I don't want to do that. I'm thinking about people on corners with, you know, cardboard boxes that say the end is near. I didn't know what no prophet was. So I had all these kooky, weird ideas in my head. I'm like, I'm not doing that. You're not about to be having me be the town weirdo on the corner. But as my heart changed, so did my desires. I desire to please God. It doesn't matter what I look like to whoever. If God tells me to go to a stranger on the street and prophesy over them, and they'll be like, that lady weird because she just came over me speaking all my business. I don't care how I look. I'm going to be obedient. But my heart had to change in order for me to even have that type of boldness to tell people those type of things. So some, you know, I've had to give people some words that were not what they wanted to hear. But my, I know if God wanted them to know it, that it's for their benefit. And if I love people, I want them to benefit. So even if it kind of hurts now, it's like God performing surgery on you. Who has surgery and don't have pain? It comes along with it, but it makes you better. So I have to change the way my perspective was. So, yeah, Sabrina, I really see your heart changing and God doing some work on it. And like I said, some stuff that might be buried, it's going to come. It's still in there.
Yeah.
It's like having a deep root. They start digging up the land, start tilling the land and finding these big stones. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know those stones were in the land. If I wouldn't have tended to the land and tilled the land, I wouldn't have known it was in there because it's buried so deep. But it would cause to where if you're trying to plant a certain tree or flowers or whatever, it wouldn't have, they wouldn't grow properly because you got this big old stone blocking the soil to where it can't get all the way down to the bottom. And that's how our hearts are. We got to be, you know, that's why we have to really guard our hearts too.
Yeah.
So I just thank God for that. I'm excited about that because I just know the transformation that has taken place in my heart. And even recently, you know, when I had a person that made me their enemy and started coming after me, coming after my children. And I had to really go to the Lord and say, examine my heart, oh Lord, make sure that my heart doesn't start to get bitter or things don't start to get there. They don't need to be in there. And you guide how I handle things because I don't want to handle things from a flesh standpoint. You know, when you, especially as a parent, you know, you get defensive when it comes to your kids, somebody trying to attack your kids and stuff. It's different when it's just you, but when it's your kid, you know, it's easy to get and make an emotional decision. But that was a prayer I had to pray all the time to examine my heart. Make sure my heart is still right, Lord. And if my heart is not right, help me to get it back to where it needs to be because I don't want these things in this situation to put things, bitter roots in my heart. I don't want that. So we got to be very careful about our hearts, and we have to allow God constant access to our hearts, especially when we're dealing with things that could be hurtful or people that have hurt us. We have to always be asking God to examine our heart, make sure that I'm not making decisions based on pain or whatever the case may be. So just be prepared for that tremendous growth and for you to see yourself in new ways and for you to see God in new ways, that you're going to really see him as everything that you need. Everything.
You know what? It's so, I know this is God. The last 3 days, God has me. He had me watching the Ten Commandments, the whole movie. And he didn't want me to watch the whole movie. He just wanted me to watch the part when Moses came to Pharaoh and said, to tell him that I am, that I am.
Wow.
And I watched that for 3 days. And as I'm going through this this cancer battle, God has healed me, but I'm finishing up the process now. My heart has really changed, especially because God told me 1 year and 3 months ago when I was diagnosed with the cancer that this would not be unto death. And ever since then, I started praying and fasting more. And my heart is changing. It is changing, man. When God is changing me, you know, I am so amazed at everything that I'm going through with this diagnosis. How God has just strengthened me and given me the ability to do what he's called me to do and just share my testimony. When I share my testimony, you know, people look at me, they're like, I just can't believe that you've gone through all of that. And it was last night, I was sitting here reading, and it's like I just had a pivotal moment. And I had to look back at all that I've gone through since August of last year up until this year. And it's like, you know, when you're in it, you're constantly going through it because you're trying to get to the next point, trying to get to the next step. So you really don't pay attention to everything that you're going through. And when I sat here last night and God said, Sabrina, okay, let's take this step by step what you went through. You got diagnosed in August. You had two major surgeries in November. You started 17 weeks of chemo in January. You started 25 rounds of radiation. And in the midst of that, you were diagnosed with a blood clot in your right leg, a blood clot in your left leg. You have one more surgery to go through. He said, you've been through a lot. And yet you did not get bitter. You did not get resentful. You did not throw your hands up at me. You just say, God, help me to keep it moving because I know there's someone that I need to share this testimony with. And it was like the reality of that just really hit me last night. I said, God, you know, what you have allowed me to live through, some people have died from. And I just became so overwhelmed that you would allow me to go through this process for your glory and yet live to tell about it. You know, it just, I said, God, I just thank you. I just really, really thank you because you are changing me. You know, you're showing me that even in the midst of what I'm going through, you still have need of me. You still have need of me to serve you, to serve your people. And I'm just so grateful, too, that I'm grateful for the strength that he's given me because this time last year, I know where I was. I knew how weak I was in my body, but this is the strength that he has given me to just keep it moving. I'm like, God, I just love you so much.
Yeah.
I just love you so much. So everything that you said, man, was a confirmation. And before we hang up, could we please pray for my husband, Roosevelt? He's away from God right now. We are going through a separation, and God told me to continue to stand for my marriage. And that's another thing. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going through the cancer, yet you're asking me to stand. He said, but I'm giving you my strength to stand, Sabrina. And he is. And he has softened my heart. My heart is not hard anymore. It's not bitter. It's not resentful toward my husband. And I said, God, I thank you. I thank you because I see the change in me. I see how my heart is softening. I see how forgiveness is ready and available. So I thank God for that.
Yes. Well, we just thank you right now for Sabrina, Father God. Thank you for the healing in her body, the total healing, Lord. We thank you for her humility, her willingness to serve even in the midst of her battles, that she took on her battles, put on as a service to you, Father God, as a service to your people. Bless her, Father God, for that. And touch her body. I speak healing right now in her body, in wholeness, Father God. Make her body stronger and better than it's ever been when it was at its top. And I just believe it. And thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And heal her marriage, Father God.
Her
what she's going through, Lord. You've given her a heart for her husband and a heart for her marriage because it's like the marriage had cancer. And she sees the effect of what the treatment has done and how it breaks you down and how it weakens. And so it looks like from the outside, if you don't have the knowledge, it could look like it's not working, but the doctors will tell you what's going on. They'll tell you that this is going to weaken you and this is going to do this and you're going to lose these things and this, but it's a process. So help her to see the parallel of what she's been experiencing in her body and how she's been fighting, and she's going to win that battle. And likening it to her marriage. And just like you've healed the cancer and the blood clots and all of the diseases out of her body, you will heal her marriage. And I speak over her husband, Father God, that his heart would turn. His heart would turn, that he would have a heart for you. Just like her heart has been laid bare, make his heart made known to him. Let his heart be made known to him. Let him see his heart from your viewpoint. And let him have a moment of repentance. Let him fall to his face and weep that he has sinned against you and you alone, Father God.
Thank you, God.
And let him have a great a great testimony to just completely turn it around and let him serve you all the days of his life, Father God. But let his heart be made known to him from your viewpoint, Father God. Let him see how it grieves you because you love him so much.
Thank you.
Because you love him and you have plans and you have purpose for him and you came into the earth for him.
Thank you, God.
That you want him to have life and life more abundantly. Let his heart be made known to him from your standpoint.
You,
and let him come into a moment, a true moment of repentance and turn away completely.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
And restore his heart to his wife. Restore it and knit them together, Father God, and use them as an example to the body of Christ of marriage and how no matter what we go through, you never leave nor forsake us. Use their marriage as that example to show people the illustration that what they've gone through and how they stuck it out, and that's how you are with us no matter what we do. You stick it out with us because marriage is supposed to be our example of how you are with us. How you never leave nor forsake, good, bad, ugly, sickness, health, no matter what, you're there.
Thank you.
Use their marriage as that example. Let it all be done in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Continue to trust and continue to serve. I mean, what you said was a servant statement. You thank God for what you were going through because he'll use you. That's the ultimate. That's what God came to serve us. And that's, you have a servant's heart. And I really believe that I needed to speak to you because even with me proclaiming tonight and coming into and identifying with the healing ministry that God has given me, the healing anointing, I believe God is going to, you're going to see a rapid turnaround with your health.
Thank you, God.
A rapid turnaround. Well, only God can get the credit. We love our medical professionals. I love doctors. I love nurses. I really do. I have a heart for them.
Yes.
But God's going to get all the glory.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too, ma'am. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was beautiful. Next caller here is 225-454. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Karen.
Hey, Karen. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Well, let's pray and hear what the Lord has to say to you tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Karen. Father God, we thank you for the trust. We thank you that you trust her. And we thank you, Father God, that it's like, Karen, people don't realize that God don't trust everybody. Because everybody's not trustworthy. But I see you understanding why you're going to come into some of the things that you come into, and it's because God trusts you. And it's like when we know that, it's even coming up when our parents or whoever raised us, when we really have love and respect for our caregiver, parent, whoever, and they trust us. So they're like, you know, you could go out with your friends because I trust that you're going to make good decisions. I trust that you're going to be home on time. When you have a love and respect, you know, you don't want to mess up that trust. So you do the right thing. Sometimes people mess up. It's just the nature of people. But you really make an effort when you know that you're trusted. And so God trusts you. He trusts you. And he's going to place things in your hands. He's going to make you steward over things. And just you knowing that God trusts you will help you to be a better steward. Because that's just the nature of people. And that's how we are. Like I said, we even when we're kids, And kids aren't like adults or childish, but a lot of times a kid has a love and respect for a parent and their parents trust them with something. They try to take good care of it and they try to you know, live up to the trust. But that's what I'm seeing, that God wants you to know that he trusts you, which is a big deal. That's a big deal, because God doesn't trust everybody. He really doesn't, which is why some things are placed in some people's hands and some things are not placed in some people's hands. You know, even with David being messed up, God trusted him because he was a man after his own heart. It didn't matter that he was messed up. We're all messed up. There was a level of trust that he had. And we know that God had to have trusted David, because look at what we went to. And Saul was chosen by God. He was. Saul didn't just stumble into becoming king. God chose Saul. But what did Saul do? Saul betrayed God's trust. He really did. When you really read about the life of Saul, he betrayed God's trust. And then it was given to David, because now God did not trust Saul anymore. So it was taken from him and given to David, who God trusted because he had a heart for God. So God trusts you. So he's going to put things, make you steward. Because even a king is really steward over the kingdom. He don't own them people. He's a steward over those people. And so Saul was a steward over the people and lost the trust of God. If he would have maintained his trust of God, David, I don't know what would have happened with David. He's a very skilled man. He would have made it. But it was because of the loss of trust with Saul that David ended up becoming king. And that's a huge thing, to become king. So God trusts you, and he's going to put big things in your hand. And he wants you to know that he trusts you, so that you, to help you maintain your stewardship. Sometimes people think, well, God gave it to me, can't nobody take it. God can take it. No human can, but God can. Mm-hmm. So when God trusts us and God gives us things, we want to make sure that we stay where in a state of humility, and we stay in a state of God trusting us, so that we can maintain the things that he's placed in our hands, because he trusts us. So he wants us to be the ones to do it. We never want to be like Saul and get it snatched. So just be ready to see God making you steward over big deals.
Praise
Small
God.
Things, but big deals. But it's because you've been a good steward over what even wasn't yours, in the small things. And so you've proven yourself. You know, David was a good steward over the sheep. That was, you know, small. So he became a steward over the people. It's always a buildup with God. You know, if he could trust you with a little, he could trust you. It's a buildup to trust you with a lot. But everybody just want to jump into the a lot realm. I want a lot. I want God to trust me a lot. He can't even trust you with 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to act. You got a new job and just left God on the way. Don't pray no more. Don't do nothing. But now you want God. No. It's not going to happen. But some people want, oh, I want the millions. You making thousands and don't even do what you're supposed to do. But you want millions. You really would act a fool and X God out of the picture. God ain't never going to put us in a position to where it's going to hinder us. That's why some people don't elevate, because they get a little six-figure job and now they don't need God no more, not realizing that God is the reason. So if they got $1 million, they really would start getting into some new age stuff and getting into pride and all sorts of stuff. God ain't going to do that. And they wonder why they can't get to the next level, because you not even acting right where you at. But you've proven yourself, and so God is going to put things in your hand, make you steward of things. So, Lord, we just thank you Thank you for caring, Father God. We thank you for the stewardship. We thank you for the trust. And we thank you that she's going to see even the little things, that the little things do matter. The little things matter. And sometimes we think that we're doing something and we don't even think about it. So insignificant to us that we don't even log it in our brains. It's just so small. And I thank you, Father God, that you're even going to show her the little things that built up to this great trust.
Yes, Lord.
Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, God.
The little things. A little spark can create a great flame. You're going to really see things that you've seen as small. It could just be being friendly to somebody.
Yes, God.
It could be something just so thinking, oh, that's something small. It's not a big deal. And God said, that's why I trust you, because you didn't even realize what great work you were doing. It's just so in your nature to do those things that you didn't even realize how big they are in the sight of God. And he's going to show you the little things that have had you earn great trust with from God. That's a huge compliment to say God trusts you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That's a huge compliment. Everybody can't say that. Some people will live their life and love and genuinely love the Lord and will make it to eternity with him. And God was like, I didn't trust you.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
But he trusts
you. Lord. Holy Jesus.
That's such a huge compliment and a great responsibility when God puts you as a steward. That's just such a great honor. It's a great honor. So just always remember that. You know, say, God, trust me, because temptation always tries to come when you steward over anything. But you say, you know what? Nope. God trusts me.
God trusts me.
Because when God trusts you, you do right by people by default. When you're like, nah, God trusts me, I'm going to do right by God. When you do right by God, you do right by people by default. You ain't even trying to do right by people. But you will, because you're doing right by God. Because you're like, God, trust me, I'm going to handle this thing correctly. So people don't realize the significance of that. Of when God trusts you and you know it, and so you're like, nope, let me walk in humility, let me make sure I'm doing this thing right. You automatically gonna do right, and you're automatically gonna do things like with like a excellence, do things correctly. You're not gonna be all sloppy with it, God trusts me. People don't trust.
Right.
God ain't gonna trust somebody that's sloppy. Or somebody that's just, they don't take no, don't even try. You know, like, there's certain characteristics that people have and people they trust. So just look forward to that. And, I'm excited for you. It's a big deal.
It is good to hear that sometimes you feel like, I don't know, I try so hard, and no matter what the situation is, I'm going to try to stop what I'm doing to help somebody, even if it puts me behind or knocks me out of my game or whatever else I was doing. I'm going to give them a word. I'm going to pray with them. I literally give up my day and time so much praying for people, trying to help people. And my aunt tells me a lot. She's like, it probably seems like I don't notice what I do. It's a big deal to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, well, that's just what people are supposed to do. Like, you love God, you're supposed to. I don't think about it sometimes. And I was talking to somebody recently that kind of said some of those words to me. And I'm like, well, I don't think I minister to people, but I'm like, what? Wait, let me stop myself. Yes, I do. I do it very often, but I do it without a thought.
And I don't call it ministry. I don't give myself a name of prophetess or minister or anything. I'm just, in that moment, I see somebody in pain, I want to try to help. Or I see somebody in lack, I want to try to give them what I have, you know. I saw somebody at the gas station. I don't know why they picked me. Asked me if I had a dollar. I don't usually carry cash. I'm like, I don't have any cash. But I got back in the car after pumping the gas. I'm like, let me see what I have. I found a couple coins in there and drove around until I found what direction the man went into. Like, well, this is what I found. So I think I had scraped up about $1.30. Like, God bless you. Because it looked like he was just in need. I prayed for him the whole time I drove around looking for him. Mm-hmm. It's just little things like that sometimes I've thought how impactful it is to that person's life. And so I definitely get it when you say, okay, God can trust me. Because God knows I try so hard for him. I do. Sometimes I'm like, I need certain things, but other people's needs will come before my own. Like, Lord, let me carry it a little bit, because it's like they're struggling so much, and I hate to see people hurting. It's like, what can I do, Lord, to help? So I really appreciate that word. Praise God for using it.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you very much for coming in tonight.
No, no problem. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Oh, Terrence is getting some good sleep. I don't know if y'all hear him, but he's getting some good rest. Next caller is 919-995. Who am I speaking with? Are you there? 919-995? Maybe you're getting some good sleep like Terrence. Going once, going twice. 919-995. All right, I'm going to go to the next person here. 240-482.
Hello, this is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Well, let me pray for you, Valerie, and let's hear the Lord has to say. I'm just keeping track of the numbers I'm getting here tonight. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Valerie, Father God. We thank you for the suddenly, like an explosion. Like explosions change things suddenly. We see it all the time. It's not always a negative thing. If a city needs to change a property and get a building quickly off of it, they have to demolish it, which comes with an explosion. If even the way the sky looks, fireworks, explosions changes what we see in the sky. There's all sorts of explosions that change things quickly, but it's not a bad thing. So Lord, we just thank you for the explosions in her life that change the way things are, and for a good thing, like a good thing. And so I'm seeing Valerie, like explosions, but not bad explosions where they're good, like even the building one, where something that's been standing for a very long time. You know, there's buildings that have been around for hundreds of years, and you could put some dynamite in it, and there's an explosion. It's something that's been standing for 200 years. Now it's just gone. Like, you just watch that thing come down. And I'm seeing, even in the explosion realm, things that have been, like, not necessarily hindrances, but, like, things that just don't need to be there, that gone with an explosion, just It's out of there. It's like never to return. Like once you blow up a 200-year-old building, even if you rebuilt the building, it's not the same. It's that 200-year-old building is forever gone. No matter that it has been standing for 200 years, it's gone. That's it. It's out of there. And so that's what I'm seeing, like things that work that have even been, you've been dealing with for a long time, it's going to be like an explosion and it's just gone. So never to bother you or be in the way, it's just gone. The explosion. And even like fireworks where you can look out in the sky, it doesn't matter what the sky is looking like. It doesn't matter if it's, you can see a lot of stars or you don't see a lot, like it doesn't matter. Once they set off the fireworks, you're going to see the fireworks no matter what type of stars, whatever you can see, your vision or how visible things are, you're going to see them fireworks, period, because of just the nature of how fireworks are made. But it come with like an explosion, but it's a thing of beauty that we see against the sky's backdrop. And that's what I'm seeing, like, one, like buildings coming down that don't need to be up, because a lot of the times when the city demolishes old buildings, it's because they have like lead or they could be, you know, dilapidated. There's all sorts of reasons why they get rid of old buildings. They could become eyesores. It might be a place where squatters go and, you know, causing crime. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons or making for something better. But so that's what I'm seeing, like with the building realm, like it's being something that just don't need to be there. And then I'm seeing with like the fireworks realm where darkness, beauty coming into darkness. Because that's what fireworks are. Fireworks, I love fireworks. They're beautiful to me. To just see all those different colors light up in the sky with the backdrop, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And people love fireworks for the most part. They make people excited. They make them happy. That's why when there's fireworks shows, it'd be crowded and packed out because people love to see fireworks because they're pretty to see. They're nice to see. And so I see those are the two like examples that God has given me to like an analogy of what's going to happen in your life. Some old that don't need to be there being gone with an explosion, and an area that might appear to be dark, suddenly beautiful things appear. But it looked like it's a dark area right now. It looks dark, but with an explosion. So it means like, boom, beautiful things. Now you see beauty. So you don't even focus on the sky because you need it to be dark to see the fireworks. You can't set off fireworks in the daytime. I mean, you can, but it needs the contrast. And so God is going to make beautiful things out of dark areas. But you wouldn't even see the beauty of it if you did not have the darkness, if that makes sense. Mm. So it's like he makes purpose out of the dark areas. He's going to make purpose out of it where you're like, if that had not been so dark, I would not see this beauty. I wouldn't see it. So that's the type of God that we serve. Like he makes everything work for us. Everything. Even the dark areas of our lives. He'll make work for us. That's what he's going to do. The dark areas, he's going to bring beauty. And the things that have been standing in just kind of like, it's like the word keeps saying, they just don't need to be there. They just don't. It's like it's just in the way, just there for no reason. And it's bothersome. And he's going to get rid of it like that, like an explosion, holy explosions. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the explosions, getting rid of the stuff that don't need to be there. Just getting rid of it. Just like that, just a suddenly type thing. One day it's an eyesore and irritating, and next thing it's gone, never to return. And we thank you for the dark areas that you're bringing beauty to the dark areas, like an explosion. And the beauty will be so bright that it'll look like the darkness was was like the darkness was actually be needed to contrast it to where she can bask in beauty and see beauty in things. And we just thank you, Father God, that you honor your word, that you are true to your word. You will give us beauty for ashes, and you will make all things work together for our good, for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. That you make it so to where even the things that you didn't desire for us, it will look like it was intentional because you just work it out so well for our good. And we learn so much about ourselves, and we learn about people, and we learn about spiritual warfare, and we learn about you most importantly through everything. So everything you use is a learning opportunity, but still make it work for our benefit. And we just thank you for that. Let that all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Old buildings and fireworks. That was an interesting analogy.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. I have no idea.
Yeah. So like I said, he just showed me like an old, because I like old buildings. I like architecture. And a lot of the time architecture back in the day was better. There was just so much detail that they put in. But some of them old buildings be just old and raggedy, and they just don't need to be there. Like, that's the type of building he showed me. Because if somebody said 200-year-old building, that's going to make me excited. Like, what, a 200-year-old building? I want to see what type of carvings and what type of woodwork. And no, he showed me the kind of make me understand what he was saying. Like, this old raggedy don't need to be there. Where you're like, y'all need to get rid of that building. That thing is falling apart. It's an eyesore, and it's just, it's probably funky. You probably walk in and fall through a floor. Like, all old buildings, they created equal, and that's what he showed me with you. Like, whatever this old thing is, it's time to go. Like, it just don't need to be there. It could be a mindset. It could be, who knows what it is. I don't even know what it is.
But
it's something that's old and don't need to be there. It's old and irritating.
Okay.
Old and funky. You know, old and unnecessary. Like, okay, your time is expired. It's lapsed. Time to go, type thing. So, like I said, I don't quite know what that means. I'd have to really pray and look up what buildings usually signify. But whatever it is, it's going to go. It's going to go, and you're going to notice it. When you have a building that's been in a certain place for a long time, whether you like really like buildings or you don't like buildings, when it's gone, you notice. You be like, something was there before. Like, something's different. So whatever it is, once it's gone, you're going to notice it's gone. Even if it's not something that you actively pay attention to, or that's like bugging you, or you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be like, dumb. That's gone. Like, I didn't, okay, I see what you did, Lord. Like, I don't have to see that no more. I don't have to deal with that. That thing is gone. You know, so you're going to know what it is once it happens. And you're going to notice it. And like I said, with the fireworks, I love fireworks too. You're really going to see that, like I said, it's like he's showing me darkness and the beauty of the fireworks, the beauty of the fireworks against that darkness. Some people don't like the dark. People really don't like the dark. And the dark can always symbolize areas. It could be an area of just, where a area that was rough. It could be an area where just something that you just don't necessarily, you didn't really like that. You know, you dealt with it, but you didn't really like it. But that beauty that's going to come against it is going to make it where you're like, was I supposed to deal with that darkness? Or like, because God he just orchestrates things so well to where you'll really be like, was I supposed to go through all that drama? Was I supposed to go through, you know what I'm saying? Because he just makes it so, he makes it fit so good. I heard somebody say years ago that he's like, it's like our lives are like music notes, and he makes it all blend, like a master conductor. So like that one, somebody might, you know, one part of your life that might have got off a little off tune, and then he'll bring in the violins and blend it to where it sounds all good and where you can't even tell that that thing was off tune, where it sounded like it was supposed to blend in with the vibe. Like, that's what he does. To where people be like, yeah, I'm supposed to go through that. Like, I don't know if you're supposed to get your foot ran over and broken, but hey, he did make it work. But, you know, but that's how beautiful he makes things. To where if you really feel like, was I really supposed to go do that? Or what did he just really make that work out? That's just how good he is. He's just that good. But that's what I'm seeing, like the way he shows me things based on so that I can have a full understanding of it. But it's going to be where it's like, wow, that beauty that I'm seeing, was the darkness, like, was I supposed to go through that darkness, Lord? Or did you make that work? Like, it's just so beautiful. I don't even know which one it is. And I don't even care at this point because you just brought, you just showing me so much beauty. And that's just what he does. We just really serve a good God who really does it for us. He does it all for us. Like such a amazing God. The older I get, the more I see how amazing God really is. Cause he just is, he's an awesome God. Like that's not just a song. He really is.
Right.
Awesome.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's awesome. That really is.
You're welcome. I'm excited for you because, like I said, I don't like old, ugly buildings. So whatever that building, whatever that's representing, old, ugly buildings get on my nerves. I'd be like, uh-uh, get rid of it. But
yeah,
beautiful.
It's got to go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, that got to go. Mm-hmm. That's just jacking up the whole landscape, and it's probably got asbestos and lead paint and all. Like, get rid of it. So... yeah, but when they're beautiful buildings, oh, kept up ones, I love them because of the architecture. Just people didn't have Google and all these distractions, television. They really took pride in what they did. And so they just, the architecture of those buildings, man, they're just so beautiful to see what people could create when they use their time for their craft versus now just want to throw things up in 2 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
No. There's no details, nothing, you know, it's just crazy.
The quality is different, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, the quality is almost non-existent, you know. It just, I see these buildings, I mean, even our house was built pretty quick. I just thank God we had we have a great builder, but, I mean, this ain't like 200-year-old building quality with the crown molding and all that kind of stuff. Like, no, no, it ain't going to probably last for no 200 years. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the quality is different now than it was back then. So I love the old, well-kept buildings. But those, like I said, them raggedy ones, I'd be like, nope. So God really, he knows how to speak to me to make me understand. So like I said, whatever it is, that's got to go. Nope. Where it's like, uh-uh, you got to go. You got to go.
Okay. Well, please, yes, go. By all means. I don't need to stick around.
If you don't need to be there. You gotta go. I mean, I remember I had an attitude about something, and the Lord told me my attitude towards that thing. He was like, "That's gotta go." It was like an old building, and I'm like, "Oh, okay, Lord." And when it went, things changed. So, like I said, I don't know what it is. It could be a person that you're dealing with. That's just you ain't going to deal with them no more. Who knows? But I said I'm gonna probably study what. Buildings represent, because things will represent certain things. I got some of them down, but I don't really see a lot of buildings, even in the dream realm. I don't usually have dreams about buildings, usually cars and stuff like that have symbols, but not buildings. So I'm going to actually study that. So maybe next time we talk, I'll have a little bit more insight, because I do want to know what does a building symbolize, because I know it symbolizes something. Sometimes I'm like, God, why all the symbols? Like, why we got to figure things out? Why you just can't tell us bluntly?
Just give it to us plain, right?
Yeah, like I'll have a dream about a car or something, or a dream about a forest. And I'm like, you can just tell me flat out, like, just go with this decision. Like, why the dramatics? But, you know, it makes things more interesting. I will say that.
Appreciate you sharing, like, you know, just kind of the way you paint a picture. It really helps me to... at least understand more of what God is showing you.
Right. Well, you're welcome. Did you have anything in particular you want to pray for tonight?
Yes, but I really wanted to let you know, last week you prayed for me. I think you were praying by phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And you prayed for me last week, and you prayed about vengeance and vengeance being the Lord's. And it was just, I just wanted to say it was the truth. It was just, I mean, it was very much, I guess, where I am, where things are. I'm mm-hmm. feeling like, you know, God is going to do things. But the way, even the example you gave, you gave an example about court and court fees and all these things, and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm right now looking at having to go back to court for some things, and I'm just like, wow, this is really very timely. So that was a real encouragement to me. But I just wanted to let you know that what you shared from the Lord was spot on.
Wow. Well, that's encouraging, because even myself today, the Lord had to remind me of that same thing, to let him avenge, still dealing with things. And was in a situation this weekend where could have taken matters into my hands and would have been in the right from a legal standpoint. But the Lord said, let me take care of it. And he likened it
mm-hmm.
to Saul and David. And because this is the second time, I'm like, this is the second time, Lord, you're going to let them get away with it. This twice. And the Lord said, how many times did David let Saul make it? And I said, twice. And he had me to read that. So this morning I was reading 1 Samuel 24 and reading
okay.
When, you know, because Saul was wrong for chasing David. David didn't do nothing wrong to that man. Saul was mm-hmm. dead wrong, jealousy and whatever else. And David let him make it twice. And when Saul was finally out of the picture, Saul took himself out. It was never by David's hand. And God had to remind me of that, because like I said, something happened this weekend. I'm like, not this time. I'm not taking it no more. I have my pitchforks and my, you know, stick of fire ready. I'm ready, like, we're going after them. And the Lord said, no, you're not. And the Lord said, I'm going to let me take care of it the way I take care of it. But yeah, so that was encouraging for me to know that was right on mm-hmm. to what you mean. Because I was like, okay, Lord, it gets frustrating. It really
yeah.
does when, especially when you're not in the wrong and you're being, somebody's just trying to come after you for whatever bitterness or whatever reasons. And it feels like you keep having your, kind of like you're just sitting on your hands, and you know you could do something, but you're just sitting on your hands and it feels like they're getting away with it. But God is really showing them grace, and God will basically run them out of excuses and run them out to where even they'll know that they get what they deserve. So that was me this morning. God's like, read 1 Samuel 24 and ministering to me about David and Saul and how David was avenged, but it wasn't through his own hand. So know that with you, he's going to avenge you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to let you know it was right.
Yes.
It was just very much right on time. I did want to ask for prayer for just for strength and direct, I guess, strength and motion, movement, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just things have just been kind of challenging recently with my kids and, you know, I've been discouraged with their behavior and, you know, just feeling very tired,
yeah.
very, very discouraged about, you know, just the situation and things changing. And I don't, you know, I don't want to have a negative outlook or to doubt that God's able to do something there. And so just the strength to persevere and to do what's right. When it comes to them and, you know, continue to love them and all of that. And, but just to keep, and but it's also kind of related to just moving forward in my life and what God has for me. Like, I feel like I've been stuck for a couple of years, just, and I just want to move forward. I want to move into what he has. So just kind of getting unstuck.
Okay. I can completely relate to that. All right. Lord, we just thank you right now for Valerie laying her heart out and her desires, Father God. And we thank you that you are meeting those needs, that you are giving her the patience, that you're giving her the endurance, that you're teaching her how to overcome in every area with child rearing and with even personal growth and personal development and just moving forward. That I've been there, Lord, that's stuck. I've been there. So undo her, Father God, and undo the weight that's causing. It's not even that she's stuck. It's not like a sticky thing. It's a weight. It's weight that's weighing her down, which is why it feels like she can't move forward, because it's the weight. So, Lord, we just ask that you cut the weight off so that she can move forward. Because right now it's like the wheels are spinning, but she's not gaining traction because something is weighing it down. It's like trying to swim with a cinder block handcuffed to your ankle. Not that you don't want to swim, it's just that the weight is preventing the movement from even causing you to have trajectory. So just remove all of the dead weight and to unpack it out of her spirit, to unpack it out of her mind so that she can move forward. And Lord, cover those children, Father God, cover those children and give Valerie just the grace and the mercy to see it from their perspective, that when things suddenly change with children, even though children are resilient, children don't know how to respond maturely. So they'll act out. They'll say mean things. They might try to hurt one another. But it's just their way of expressing what they can't express verbally. But it comes out in other ways. So give her the discernment to identify that and
to not take it personal
or not to take it as a reflection of her motherhood. That is just the nature of change with children, sudden change. And when children feel like maybe even if they feel like they were in something stable and they start to not feel stable, even though they don't realize that they are still stable, but children will in their mind say, well, this is stability. And so when something changes or something's removed, they start to feel unstable or unsafe, or they feel like, well, I can't feel comfortable because then what if things change again? So teach Valerie how to minister to her children, what words to say to comfort them and to remove those fears, and how to start healthy dialogue with them, to teach them how to express what they're feeling and where they'll feel comfortable, where they'll feel like they are not going to get in, quote, trouble. Teach the children how to a lot of the times people will try to manipulate children or try to plant things in them to make them feel some sort of way, like kind of like trying to manipulate or influence them to feel some sort of way. Help the children to not fall for that, to not be baited by that. Some of those feelings that they have are not really coming from them. It's coming from another source, another party that's trying to cause problems. And when people are trying to get to you, a lot of times they'll go through your children. So help the children not to not to take root. Let those bad seeds trying to be planted in them not take root. Let them die where they're at.
Yes.
Let them die where they're at. We just speak death over ill seeds towards those children, where those seeds will shrivel up and die and will not take root, in Jesus' name. And let them all, each child, develop their own personal relationship with you, Lord. And these experiences make them stronger, make them empathetic to people, and make them to be who you created them to be. Use it all for your glory and use it all for their benefit. But give their mother, Father God, the truth of what's going on, where she's not punching herself for it, where she's not feeling guilty or feeling like it's her fault or feeling like she's failing or doing something wrong. Remove that, Father God, to where she can see things for what they are and give practical steps on what needs to be done to correct it, and just give her the grace and the patience needed, because it takes time. This type of change takes time, but help her to continue to serve them and to love them, because that's going to make the difference. Mm-hmm. And to not be afraid to discipline, not to feel guilty about discipline, like, oh, they're having it rough, so I don't want to. No, they need the discipline because they need the structure. They need the correction. And so they need to know that it's not okay to engage in bad behavior because you're going through a tough time. You still need to do what needs to be done. That the tough time doesn't determine how you act, that your character should determine how you respond to the tough time. This is a great opportunity for them to learn that lesson, that we don't allow the situation to make us act a certain way and use that as an excuse. No, we overcome the situation by the character and saying, I'm not going to let this bring me down. I'm not going to let this change who I am. I'm still going to do the right thing in the midst of it. So make them very strong in that area. And Valerie, favor in maneuvering the legal system. It's a system. It's a system that is it's a system that has the guise of best interests of children, but don't care about best interests of children. It's a system that's trying to gain money and that promotes bad behavior between parents, and it's not a godly system, but help her to navigate through it to where she's successful and where she's not depending on it, because it's a system. Systems don't have hearts. Systems don't have love. It's a system, like a machine. So help her to put her trust in you, and that you'll help her navigate through the machine of that system. Her help cometh from you, not that system. It's just something she has to deal with, but you will help navigate through it. So we thank you for that all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Have a good night.
You, too.
Thank you. Moving right along. 828-989. Who am I speaking with?
This is Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you tonight?
You?
I'm good.
Hanging in there.
Awesome. I'm about to look up a song. Sometimes the Lord will give me songs that are not, quote, gospel songs, but they still relate. Let's see. Not even a song I'm very familiar with. Butterfly by Mariah Carey. Said I'm somewhat familiar with that song. Okay, just a little blurb that I found on Butterfly. It says the song named Butterfly became Carey's favorite and most heartfelt ballad. Its lyrics were very personal, linking to Carey's personal life and relationships with Mottola, which was her ex-husband, well, now her ex-husband. Carey wrote Butterfly for Mottola, hoping he would say its contents to her, and chose to do what was best for her. As soon as you started talking, that song came in my head. Like I said, I'm not very familiar with that song, but I do remember when it came out several years ago, but that's what came in my head, that Mariah Carey Butterfly song. So I'm going to pull up the lyrics of it. That song came out in 97. Wow. That's an old song. Well, my son was born in 97, so I guess it's not that old, but I mean, it is at the same time. Where are the lyrics? Trying to find the lyrics on Google. Does she have it blocked? Let's see, Mariah Carey. Here we go. When you love someone so deeply, they become your life. It's easy to succumb to overwhelming fears inside. Blindly, I imagine I could keep you under glass. Now I understand to hold you, I must open my hands and watch you rise. Spread your wings and prepare to fly, for you have become a butterfly. Oh, fly abandonedly into the sun. If you should return to me, we truly were meant to be. So spread your wings and fly, butterfly. I've learned that beauty has to flourish in the light. Wild horses run unbridled, or their spirit dies. You have given me the courage to be all that I can, and I truly feel your heart will lead you back to me when you're ready to land. And then the same chorus about spreading your wings. And it says, I can't pretend these tears aren't overflowing steadily. I can't prevent this hurt from almost overtaking me. Stand and say goodbye, and you'll never be mine until you know the way it feels to fly. And then it's got the chorus again twice. And then, so flutter through the sky, butterfly, fly, spread your wings and fly, butterfly. What a beautiful song. See, I remember the song, but it wasn't one of those songs that I gravitated towards, especially in 97. I was kind of during my wilder times. But what I'm picking up from it, it's like God is going to help you to release some things that are dear to you. You know, sometimes we have to just release things. And in this case, she wrote this song about her ex-husband. And I know just a little background of Mariah Carey. Things were not going so hot in that marriage. And she was in love. And I think she just made the decision to just release. There was a lot of stuff going on that shouldn't go on in a marriage. But she ended up having to just kind of release that, because it was pretty much taking her out, like it was destroying her. Sometimes we could love something, and because of our love, we hold on to it, and it's slowly destroying us. And we have to just let things go, let them fly off, so to speak, like she's saying in her lyrics, let it fly off like a butterfly and be free. Because sometimes allowing things, situations, people to be free actually gives us the freedom that we need, because it's taken us down. And now the very thing that, you know, we're using as our reason to stay or love is causing us to be in a position where something is destroying us. And a lot of times people do that. They'll stay in situations of, you know, a job or relationship, whatever the case may be. And because it's like, because of the love, but really they need to release it. And so I see God really helping you to release things that are hindering you, things that you very well may love. You know, when I became a believer, there were things I loved that God had to, I had to release those things, and I loved them. I remember God had me when I maybe have been serving him for about maybe two years. And he told me that I couldn't listen to secular music anymore or watch this one particular show that I used to love. It used to come on Wednesdays. And I would get so distracted in church on Wednesdays because I'd be watching the clock, hoping the pastor wouldn't go over because I wanted to get home and watch this particular show. And God said, stop. He told me I couldn't watch the show no more. And it ended up being for a season, that show and even secular music. I thought it was going to be a forever thing, and I love music. I love music. I love music. I don't love all music. Some music is just garbage and raunchy trash. But I love honest music because it talks about the human experience, and I love classical. And I mean, I love all genres, but I just love music. because to me, classical music speaks. It has lyrics. To me, it's those instruments are saying something because you start to feel some sort of way. It's ministering something to you. There's a message it's giving. So music is a ministry, but I love music. So when he told me to get rid of secular music, man, my heart was broken because I love music. I don't listen to like garbagey music. Like I like old school and, you know, stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not listening to stuff that's, you know, super bad, Lord. Like, why? And he's like, you know, sacrifice it for me. I had to let it go. But then he told me at one point that I could listen to it again. But by this time, I had developed a habit of listening to uplifting music and, you know, Christian, contemporary Christian gospel, that kind of stuff. So to where I wasn't listening to a lot of secular music. And then I was even more particular about lyrics and that kind of stuff and what I would listen to. And then even when he released me to watch that show again, I didn't, because I just didn't even feel the desire to. But it was something that I loved. So it's like I see God helping, having you release something that you love. And it very well may be something that does come back. I'm a foodie. I love food. Well, I love to eat. And God told me a few years ago I couldn't eat meat anymore. I can eat fish and like seafood, but I can't eat meat. I like a good steak. I like chicken. You know, I like pork chops, but I can't eat them. You know, and he told me the reason why, but I had to give that up for the benefit of my being able to hear God's voice clearly. You know, God told me that there is a correlation with like food and spiritual realm. Like that's why when we really need to hear God clearly, we fast, because there is a correlation with food and hearing. And he told me that I didn't hear as clear when I ate meat. So I stopped eating meat, and it's something that I loved, but I did what needed to be done for the benefit, not of me, but for the benefit of the call of God on my life and for the people that I'm called for. I don't want to be hearing those scrambled message. I want to hear it clear. So just because he's telling you to release something that you love, It doesn't make it bad in itself, but it's just not good for you. Like meat is not bad in itself. Like sometimes people find out I don't eat meat and they're like, oh, they're trying to downplay their eating of meat. I'm like, no, meat, there ain't nothing wrong. If you want to eat your steak, by all means, eat your steak. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I can't do it. It's not bad in itself. It's bad for me because that's between me and God. You enjoy your steak with A1 sauce or however you like it, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Because I can't do it. You know, I just can't do it. And so, again, the things that God might be having you release, it doesn't mean that they're bad in itself. It's just not good for you. And what he's trying to do for you. And it may be something that's restored. I don't know if I'll ever be able to eat. Well, God has told me that that he's going to have me start taking sabbaticals. And when I do take sabbaticals, I can eat meat. I don't know if I would, because I'm just so used to not eating it, but he did tell me that. So there is hope with me and a steak. But I don't know. I don't even know if I want to get the taste, because then I might start craving. I don't know. I'd have to really use discernment on that. I just stick to my mahi-mahi grill tasting like a steak. But I don't know. But it might be something where it's temporary. Like with me with the secular music, it might be something that's more permanent. Like with me with the meat. I even think at some point, well, I know for a fact at some point that I won't eat any meat, not even fish. That God is going to have me eventually like on a, like a fully, like, I don't know if I'm going to go full vegan, but more just almost completely plant-based. He showed me that years and years ago. So it might get to the point where I don't eat no type of meat and just eating fruits and vegetables and beans and all that kind of stuff, grains. So it'll get to that point with me. So that's why I'm thankful for that. I can eat some seafood and all that kind of stuff now. But with you, like I said, I don't know if it's going to be it could be temporary. It could be long-term, but just be obedient and release the things, even if you love them. Even if you love them.
Thank you.
Release the things that God is saying to release, because, you know, like I said, with the meat thing, God, it took years for him to really, he had been preparing me for it for years. And he told me an age. He said, by this age, you need to stop eating meat. And then that age came, and I still was eating steaks and my chicken and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord, like, look, I told you, you know, to stop. And I, like, really kind of got on me, so I had to really transition out of it. But, like, again, it was for the benefit of the call that he has on my life. Like, if I say that I want to be used and I want to die empty, I can't die empty if I can't be used properly. And so I had to do what needed to be done. And it was not easy. Now it is. You know, Terrence makes steaks and stuff all the time. And it doesn't bother me. But at first it was really hard to just even smell. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I want to bite the chicken. It was hard for me to, like, family, you know, certain foods that I could not eat. Now, it's nothing. I made them a pot roast the other day. It smells so delicious, but I wasn't tempted to eat it. I ate the mashed potatoes and the cabbage, but that was it. And it was for me. So it gets easier. But know when God tells you to release something, even if it's something that you love, it's not for your harm. It is for your benefit. And it's for his glory, and you just do it. Because a lot of times people think, God wouldn't tell me to give it. That's not true. That is not true at all. You know, we got to love God more. That's it.
Yes.
We got to love God more. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father God, that she is at, she's able to release, to like a butterfly, to just let it go. Because we love things, we see them as beautiful things when we love things. Including, like, butterflies are beautiful. I love butterflies. So you release it like a beautiful butterfly, let it do its thing and go about your business and know that it's for your benefit and the benefit of others. So help her, Father God, to just release. No matter if it's hard, that it just needs to be done. And that she's going to see the benefit. She's going to see the benefit. Complete surrender, Father God. Complete surrender to say, Lord, nothing comes before you. Nothing. It's easy to get rid of things that we don't like, but it takes sacrifice to get rid of things that we do like, and especially things that we love. But it can be done because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we thank you for her surrendered heart. And we thank you, Lord, that as a result of her surrendered heart, she will receive the blessing, the double fold, the hundredfold blessings because of the surrender. So many people want the big blessings, but they don't want to surrender. They want it on their terms. But it becomes like where you're not even doing it for the blessing, but the blessing just comes. Because that's just the result of a surrendered life. You just become blessed because you're doing what God is telling you to do. So you're in position to be blessed and to have the hundredfold. So we just thank you for that. Let that all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you have anything in particular you wanted prayer about?
I actually do. My parents and I have COVID, and my mom is in the hospital with COVID pneumonia, and is really, really struggling, fighting for her life. So for the Lord to heal her is a miracle.
Amen. What's your mom's name?
Carol.
Carol. Heavenly Father, touch Carol's body right now, Lord Jesus. And just we ask for that COVID to be removed and heal her lungs, Father God. Restore them, Father God. Help Carol to just continue to fight through you, Lord, to hang on, to hold on. And we just speak healing, total healing in her body, total healing in her lungs. And give the doctors and the nurses that are caring for her the wisdom to know what needs to be done, even if it breaks protocol, because this is something new. And so people are doing what the best that they can based on the limited knowledge that they have, but you're all knowing, Lord Jesus. You're all knowing. So give them the knowledge to know what needs to be done, even if they don't know how they know it, but to just do what needs to be done and give them the boldness to break protocol if protocol needs to be broken, so that Carol can receive the proper care and treatment that she needs. And I speak healing over Jennifer's body right now, Father God, to just let that COVID come out of her, Lord Jesus, to come out of her right now in Jesus' mighty name. Total and complete healing, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you're making good come out of it, so she'll have the antibodies and Carol will have the antibodies. And we know that the scientists have said that they're better than even the vaccine, the antibodies, that they're more effective. So good will come out of it, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for that, and to protect her family, so that no other family members get sick, protect the people around them, their loved ones, and just use them, Lord Jesus, as a beacon of hope to people, so that they know that even if they get it and they're fighting for it, that they can come, that there's a way out of it. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. It doesn't have to be all these different stories that the fear that the news is putting out there, that it doesn't have to be that way, that there is healing, that you're still a healer. You can heal COVID. There's nothing that your hand can't touch. There's nothing that your hand can't heal. So we just decree and declare that healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for calling in. And I'm believing for your healing and your mom's healing, and just stay strong, as strong as you can. If you need to cry, cry.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we think staying strong means we can't have emotions. That's not true. Cry when you need to. But know that your help cometh from the Lord, and that he's with you and he's with your mom. And I'm believing for your healings. I believe it's already
done.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank
you
very much for calling in.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too. Good night. This, everybody, I'm out of time. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Be sure to call in tomorrow. I think there's a 7 o'clock show. I'm not sure, but Randy will text you and let you know if there's a 7 o'clock show, and he should be on at 9 o'clock. But I just want to pray a collective prayer over everybody tonight for healing. I want to operate in what I've declared and what I've accepted about my calling and the call that God has on my life. So, Father God, touch the bodies, touch the minds, touch the areas of life that need healing right now in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, and help us to just receive the blessing, receive the healing, Lord Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That when the woman touched the hem of your garment, her faith healed us. Help us to have faith for our healings, Lord Jesus, to have faith for the healing of diabetes, faith for the healing of high blood pressure, faith for the healing of cholesterol or heart disease or obesity or cholesterol issues. Help us to believe and have faith that you are in the healing business, and help us, Father God, to do our part to keep our healing, to mentally know that we're healed, to keep it, and to do what we need to do practically to stay healthy and to stay healed. But I speak healing over your life right now, in your body, in your mind, in your subconscious. Heal mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, financially. I just speak healing in your life. Receive your healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Speak against anxiety right now, fear. Somebody's having issues with anxiety. I speak calm and peace. Be healed from that anxiety. No more panic attacks. No more waking up in the middle of the night terrified. I speak peace in your life right now, and that will never return. And I speak people that have issues with their knees right now, in Jesus' mighty name, that those knees will be healed and that they would be able to be active again and be able to go for walks and runs and to for weight maintenance and for longevity of health right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I speak the clearing of lungs of people with chronic coughs, with bronchitis, asthma. Let those lungs be healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. I pray healing for back problems right now, for back problems. Like I keep hearing the word lumbar, which I know pertains to the back. Just receive your healing. Receive it. Receive it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And chronic allergies, debilitating allergies, I speak that those that your body will become immune to those things that come to your body that are like pollutants and that causes that reaction. No more debilitating allergies. No more. Receive your healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak it, I decree and declare it. No more debilitating allergies. I speak against issues of the gums right now, that your gums are being healed. And your dental health is going to improve drastically. I speak that right now in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. And we just thank you right now that every need is being met, every condition, every ailment, whether we are fighting something physical, mental, that it's all being healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening tonight. I love you all. Always praying for you. Keep us lifted in prayer as well. And until next time, have a great night.